Hey, you guys, and welcome Saturday night, the final Mandalorian roundtable. I am Steel Saunders, and I do love Star Wars, and we are just going to have a banging time talking about the finale of The Mandalorian, the last episode ever. Is it? I don't know.
No, yeah, they're not going to make any more Star Wars, especially not for Disney Plus. There's just no more content coming.
Hey, you haven't got Windows. You don't need to talk.
Sorry.
Fine. We've got Riley Silverman here. We've got Tom Chansky. We've got Steve Malk down in Australia. We've got Maggie somewhere in America. Maria, and then behind this very well-placed advertisement. Sal, hey, Sal, mate, I've got to shift some T-shirts. We're leading into Christmas. So can I just leave that up there for just a little bit? Hey?
I guess, man. I mean...
All right. Whatever. It's better than someone spewing. Now you're getting vomited on. So what's better?
You advertising I have kids.
Or vomit? Hey? Yeah, what do you reckon?
I got two kids, man. I know you're on the one kid. I've done it twice, so, you know, you don't scare me.
Yeah, people that do it twice, it's like, really? Did you learn nothing?
I learned everything.
Okay.
Everything.
Now, Corey might join us later on. There might be a special appearance. So, but he's there in our hearts and on the side of the screen.
Yeah, I'm wearing a beanie, so if he doesn't show up, at least beanie is present on the show.
Yes, right. Excellent.
I mean, okay. I'm more concerned if Corey and Noah don't show up, are we still allowed to use the clips? that's more important.
Dude, can we use the clips?
Please?
Of course we can use the clips. Oh, my God.
Then I'm fine. I can do whatever he wants.
My God. All right. What do you reckon, Noah?
Let's do this.
Okay, fine. Let's do it. Now, I've had a very rushed day, a great day. I was skateboarding before down about an hour away, and I'm running late because I had to make this trick. Because do you know what this guy learned? Do you know what lesson this guy learned?
What did he learn, Steel?
Do or do not. There is no try. So everyone, I haven't even looked at the chat yet, but if you're complaining that we're running late, it's Star Wars' fault, all right? and the fact that I'm far too old to be skateboarding. But either way, we're here. And I'm so happy because I'm getting to live out all my 12-year-old dreams today, doing a little skateboard flick. Coming home and talking about.
Oh boy.
Where is it?
Are you going to cry?
Luke Skywalker.
There it is.
Igniting that green. Now, I think up. Let's just get out of the way. Look, Riley's already going for it. It's a saber off. Sal's got his. Let's just run around the board with just some initial thoughts. How you were left on Friday morning or whenever you watched it. I know, Malk, you're very lucky. You get to watch it in prime time Friday nights in Australia. What an amazing vibe. Riley, how did you go?
I was up late because there was that moment where like there was the delay because of the site crashing when people were trying to watch it right at midnight. So I think I got into about 12:15, 12:20 a.m. And then I was on it. And then I remember the moment when the X-Wing appeared and I just yelled profanity so loud that I know that I woke up my neighbors. Like I just was like, and then it was just me. And actually I had already because I wasn't sure if the planet in the very beginning where they found Bo-Katan was Lothal or not, because it had a very Lothal vibe to it. So I was already like, wait, what's going on? What's happening? And then that kind of went past, and then the episode was really good. And then, yeah, when they go, it's an X-Wing, I just shout. And then I was like keyed up, and then it was just for the rest of it was just me. I was like giddy, and I was like slapping my bed, and I was just like just lost. And like it was funny when I watched your reaction video, Steel, because the same – I did the exact same thing you did, which is when – R2 appeared, I literally just started giggling. Like I just was like, I don't even know what to do anymore. And then I remember being, even though it was like well past 1 a.m. at that point, I was so keyed up that I was just on Twitter and having like a half hour or so, or 45 minutes or so, or just like pure joy tweets with people and no spoilers being dropped. Like no one even mentioned like even like hints at a plot point. It was just pure emotion. People say, I can't believe that just happened. I can't believe. And it was just like so exciting until finally my body was like, you need to like, I was like, how am I going to sleep? How am I going to sleep? But I'm old enough now that my body's like, no, we're done. We're just shutting down now. And it was that little girl gif of like, I'm going to sleep right here on the beach. Like I just was like, I was done. And I did. So it was just this giddy joy fest. I can't remember the last time that I was in that much of a collective group freak out joy. Or I think it might have been when we first saw Grogu last year. I think it was that moment of like, I can't believe this franchise is still surprising me or jumping out and giving me brand new things to be excited about. Because I think that even when Ahsoka mentioned like he could call out and someone can hear him and another Jedi, I think like I had not let myself believe that it could be Luke. I think that like even though I considered it, I was like, oh, it probably could be Luke. And now looking back at it, I don't know why I didn't think so. I don't know why I thought that Mark Hamill wouldn't be available. Like I don't know why I thought they wouldn't have that access. Like it's Lucasfilm making anyway, looking back on it, it's dumb that I didn't think it was going to be Luke. But now that it has been, I just my brain blew up and excited, and I've said a lot. So that's my feeling.
Riley did that monologue exactly the same as in rehearsal. Word for word, syllable for syllable, she got it. It was it was incredible.
Read it.
That's like one of the things I was thinking about today, reflecting, if you will, is this series started with this mind-blowing, couldn't imagine it surprise gift that we all got to share. And then it closed out on, listen, the arrogance of you to say, I don't know why I considered it. Is someone got an owl in their studio at the moment?
Look, like there's birds in here and it's cold outside and grandma put them inside and just leave it alone. It is what it is.
Maybe it's time for
there's just birds that live here and that's my life.
Is it a Filoni bird?
Yeah,
let's just pretend it is. Yeah.
You have a wolf also?
Please.
Yeah, there's a convor, there's a little lost wolf. Echo. Where, I don't know where Echo is, but he'll pop up somewhere, I'm sure.
Is it nesting in your hair?
It's not. I mean, like, don't mess the boss dress.
There's some good materials in there.
So, Steele, I know what you mean about the arrogance of, like, why wouldn't it be? Because there's been plenty of times in the history of Star Wars where it hasn't been that, and I get that. But at the same time, I can't think of a single other character that the actor is available to do that could have had the across the fan – like, this Al thing is hysterical. But that could have had the across the fan impact. When people were like, oh, maybe I'll be Ezra Bridger, but I think Ezra is the same problem as any of the other cartoon characters where anyone who hasn't watched the cartoons, like, who's this person? There is nobody. There is nobody in Star Wars' lore of this era that could have the boom Jedi impact that Luke showing up would have. I think that's my feeling about it. Where no matter what level of Star Wars engagement you have, you know who Luke Skywalker is and you're excited by his appearance.
Oh. Yeah. I've said for ages, he's the money card to put down. But there's nothing I wanted more. And I love theorizing about it. But I didn't actually think it was going to – like, I didn't think that actually – I thought I was just having fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't let myself think it was going to happen. So when it did happen, I was like, I can't believe I'm actually getting this.
So it's like for me, it was like wishing – for 2 years that Disneyland opened on the other side of the street from your house. and there was construction, and you're like, oh yeah, that they're building Disneyland. It's going to be sick. Happiest place on earth. Ignite the happy. And then one day you go out and it's there. It was impossible to deal with. Tom, how did you go?
I don't know going into this episode that I wanted Luke, just because I didn't know how they would pull it off. But at the same time, if they were going to involve Jedi...
Tom, I do have to say, if I was more settled in the studio environment, I'm still rattled from just getting home, I would have muted you at midway through that sentence. I just want to know where we stand, okay?
It's one of those things that you and I have had this conversation before. It's all in how they do it. I don't know that I wanted any other Jedi, but I'm watching it. I had to watch it. I woke up early. I watched it on my phone just because of where people were in the house. And they said it's only one X-Wing, and I got goosebumps. And everything that I felt going into this show went out the window. When we saw the hooded figure, I knew what it was. I was into it because Luke Skywalker is the hero of a whole Star Wars generation. And now that the sequel trilogy story is told and done, they can finally tell those stories in between. And we deserve better than stories involving Luke Skywalker falling in love with a spaceship, for example. We finally get those. And now I am fully on board. I had chills watching Luke. I was crying when R2 showed up. And then at the end of the show, after they roll the credits, I cried for another reason, because I saw we're getting a book, and that meant you and I are going to have to talk more.
Oh, how dare you. Mulky.
Yes, mate.
When are you watching this? 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock?
As soon as I humanly possibly could.
No, but what time does it come on in Australia?
7 p.m. Friday night.
Prime time.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if you had it, because I was so tired that it seemed like dreamlike. What was it like to watch it in full coherence?
Overwhelming. I was overwhelmed. All of the feelings that have been expressed and somehow exploded into other little bits of fragments of galaxies in the same way. It was delightful. And I was more coherent than you guys, because I got to watch it at a normal time.
Yeah.
You guys are so distracting.
Sorry, I shouldn't have put up that. That was
no, that's great.
It was such a bad pun.
Give it to me.
How is it like you report on like TV news and reviews back home in Australia? Like, what sort of impact, like, in just chatter about TV shows, does The Mandalorian have? Like, is it in the mix? Is it more with us weirdos, or what's up?
Look, it's absolutely they're synonymous in Australia. When people talk about Disney Plus, it's conversations about Baby Yoda, the child, the Mandalorian, in the same breath. And so for a lot of people, it is the reason, there he is, the little guy, the reason that people are signing up to Disney Plus. And the overwhelming conversation that has come out of this finale episode has been that they felt that season two, certainly I think this, but the conversations I've had with people, season two, equal if not better than season one. What a finale, such great service, and what a kicker surprise after the credits. So great.
After the credits.
Oh
my stars. Everyone's like, oh, after the credits. Like my brother-in-law messaged me, like, after the credits, and I'm like, dude, that's not the lead story. That is not the lead story. And when I talk about weirdos like us, let's be fair. Our next little window, he does space karate and lives with an owl. So, and we don't question it, because we've all got our little things. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Sal? How did you go? Did you watch it at midnight?
So normally I watch it with my wife at midnight, but she's been feeling the She's been feeling down the past couple of days. So last night I ended up watching it by myself, like at midnight, because I'm like, I'm not waiting. Like, the longer I wait, the more chance of somebody spoiling me. You know, like, I don't like being spoiled. So I watched it by myself at midnight. So I was here in this little couch with my little owl, and we were both laughing, we were both crying, and we were both like whispering because my wife was like asleep upstairs, and I was just like,
"Coo coo,"
like
"coo coo."
The X-wing comes out, and I'm like, "I know, right?" And he's like, "Rrr, rrr, rrr." And I was like, "Here he comes! It's happening! It's happening! Those punching robots are going down!"
Punching robots.
And it was like, as soon as like, "Hey, what is that? An X-wing?"
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And it was that for 10 minutes. And the music at that spot is fire. Like, that track is going to be on my phone for a good year, son.
Yeah, the sand is on.
Like, that track is fire. It's a damn good finale. And I am happy. You know me, I'm generally happy with Star Wars things, dude, but this stuff hit another level. And I'm not going to lie and say that I wasn't thinking of you when there was green igniting.
Yep.
As I'm sure you were getting a lot of texts that night.
One of probably like my favorite thing about all this stuff is like it was very important to me and it was so thrilling, but people messaging
me, still we couldn't tell.
Hey mate, here's one for you, all right? But it was so nice to have people, so many people message me, like way more than when I had a child, and congratulate me, and like I did something, like congratulations on acting like a little kid for 3 years. Well done, but it felt good, and yeah, that just the shared joy that I felt when. You know, characters like Ahsoka came into play. Like, you know, Maria is, I feel like, you know, her Luke is Ahsoka, like our counterparts in Star Wars. And I was, it's one of the rad things about this season is like, I had so much joy, you know, for Hawes when Boba Fett came in, and then, you know, for all the Clone Wars fans, when Ahsoka came in and stuff. And I did sort of, you know, off in the corner, you know, twiddling my little toes on the ground going, when's my time? Always, you know, I was always
the bridesmaid.
No, I was always the fan's maid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. But, Maria, how did you find the finale?
I think it really got me to the point where it's like, oh, anything can happen now. I feel like everything's on the table now. I did not expect to see Luke because he's like a major character and this is canon adjacent. So I just kind of put all the Skywalkers in a little box and pushed them off to the side because we're probably not going to play with those big pieces. We're just going to play.
Hey, no one puts baby Luke in the corner. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Be that as it may. Noted. I just didn't see a way for Luke to come into the story. And maybe I was being short-sighted. So you're right, and I was wrong, Steele. That's fantastic news.
No, that's the thing. I'm not right. Because I didn't think it was actually going to happen. I was just like...
I was skeptical, too. I was very skeptical. But man, the sleeper of this episode was that running bulldog that Sasha Banks gave Boba Fett.
Yes.
Gave him the business. I was like, oh my God. Not only did I just see wrestling plus Star Wars, but I saw wrestling plus Star Wars plus Black Woman equals victory. I was like, ah, we did it. And my husband's like, what did we do? I'm like, you didn't do anything. We did something. It was incredible.
It was all those things in the equation you just said divided by jetpack.
Okay, yes.
But I'm so glad to have you on the show, Maria, because I was on another show and...
Did you get the cream? Did you put it on? Are things better? I told you. It goes away with time.
Buddy, this is the cream I've got. Got my Grogu sanitizer.
That is a great use of the license, or so I've heard.
It's definitely. But I was on another podcast, and they called it. They just said a headlock body slam or something.
No. The canon. We're going with running bulldog, honey. I'm sorry. It's canon now. You're gonna have to learn some wrestling terms. Sorry.
Maggie. Yes. How'd you go?
So I watch with my mom every Friday morning. We get up 7 a.m. and watch it over breakfast. I think my highlight was when the X-Wing appeared, and my mom, who watched the original like trilogy in theaters and like Star Wars, but she's been dragged to Star Wars because of me. As soon as that X-Wing appeared, she went, "It's Mark Hamill." Like she just instantly, knew. And I was like, at that point, I was like, it still could be somebody else. I mean, it's not the only person who rides an X-Wing. But then, as soon as he started fighting, I'm like, he's fighting, Anakin. And, for The Mandalorian has been really interesting for me because there was a lot of things at the beginning of the season I was like, I don't really want to see. I was really hesitant about bringing Ahsoka in. I didn't want Boba Fett. I didn't want Luke Skywalker to be the Jedi. However, every single one of those things worked for the story in a very specific way. And then Luke Skywalker, literally, I have never been happier about Star Wars before in my life. I'm a very talkative person. I've been on here, the third time? You know, I like to talk. I did not speak for almost 2 hours after the Mandalorian episode ended. My mom was like, "Are you okay?" And I just couldn't, my head had exploded and I just couldn't believe that they did it and that it was handled so well and that it was Mark Hamill and that it was so perfect. And we know that's what Luke is doing. And I know people "Oh, it's fan service." And I'm like, but we knew that Luke was picking up kids. We knew that he was building the new Jedi temple and it fits so well. And I'm also a huge fan of Boba Fett and Fennec. Shocking turn of events in 2020 of me standing Boba Fett. And so that end scene, I will be here until next Christmas, just absolutely rhapsodizing over, as we've called it, Bonic, Boba and Fennec. We literally coined it after the tragedy. My friend Arzu, Candace, and Norhal and I, we started shipping it then. And so that end scene that throne scene. But it just felt so good. It felt so natural and everything was beautiful and I'm happy. I'm very happy.
You did the opposite of me. You didn't talk for 2 hours. I did nothing but talk for 2 hours.
I broke. I was just I literally sat here and I was just oh my God, they did it. Because it was everything. It was beautiful. I loved it. I'm so happy. And I won't let Twitter take that away from me.
Well, they'll try to take everything away. But the good thing, apart from the whole self-ingrandizing of videoing yourself watching a show for the first time, is that you then can go back and remember what actually happened when you were experiencing all this stuff. And when that X-Wing flew past, I just kept repeating the words "what" just constantly, because I was I knew what it meant. But it couldn't be possible. It was an experience. It was unlike anything I've ever experienced watching anything. It was like I joke, but I did literally feel like I was watching myself watching it above. It was just, it had such an effect on mentally and physical. It was just like, it's concerning. Like, what is up with that?
Steele, I've only just met all of these people. I've met Riley before. I think I can speak boldly on their behalf. If anyone was going to have an out-of-body experience watching this final episode of this season of The Mandalorian, we all know it was you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the surprising thing is that I came back.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, I agree with that. I think that, like, my... of all the people in my life who I share Star Wars with and I bond over Star Wars with, the very first person I thought of when that green ignited was you. I was like, Steele is so happy right now. Wherever Steele is watching this. And then, like, I even...
See, you already assumed I was dead with talk like that. Wherever Steele is.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's happy.
Well, I actually assumed I was going to see you.
He was watching that green from the other side.
Over to make me feel better about Christmas. But, yeah, I just thought... like, and then when I logged on Twitter, I waited to see if you were tweeting about it before I sent you anything, because I sent you a DM about my thoughts about it. But I was like, I'm waiting just in case. Yeah. In case Steele went to bed or something. I don't know why. But mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to be the one that spoils this for Steele, even though I'm sure the internet will.
Yes.
But, like, yeah, once I knew you mm-hmm. had seen it, I was like... so this is what I thought. Where the lightsaber came. I was so excited to tell you about my thoughts, because, like, yeah, you were the very first person.
Well, I almost broke Hawes's heart, because I did have to stop watching the episode midway because Harry woke up, and because it was just during a whatever, you know, just a bit that I could pause. Like, I hadn't gotten to Luke yet, obviously. So I paused it and just went and did that instead of Jackie waking up, because I'm already up. But that delayed me about 15 minutes. And you can hear it on the reaction video. There's like a vibrating sound on my desk because of text messages and stuff. And I saw Hawes was ringing me. And I was like, in my head, I quickly just went, okay, it's about time it's finished. He's ringing me because it's not because something bad happened. He just wants to talk about the show. So I just flipped the phone over so I didn't see any texts or anything like that.
Good.
And... oh, that would have been
brutal.
Like, and if it was him, like, he's such a, like, the nicest dude. And, like, it would have been super, super rough. I don't even know how to, like, normally we sort of go through the episode. So we should, let's just, like, brush through what we did see.
Well, it was a good episode up until that point too. Like, there was a ton of major stuff that happened in that episode before. Yeah. Like you could almost view it as a full episode with an arc up until that X-Wing arrived, and then a whole separate, like, we've only talked about the moments from the X-Wing on, but the Darksaber, the Gideon fight, I mean, there's a lot there. It's a great episode of The Mandalorian, aside from the fact that Luke Skywalker showed up.
I have to be honest, when I paused the show midway, I was like, this thing better pick up in the second half.
Wow.
Okay.
Wish granted.
Well, I'm not a dark trooper guy.
I don't like the dark troopers.
I'm not a dark trooper person either, but I like Gideon so much that
they felt like Rock'em Sock'em robots, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, the design reminds me of that.
They were straight up T-800s, and I was surprised with how much punching they were programmed with. They punched in, they punched the door. They just were punching all day, son. And I was like,
yeah.
You have these advanced troopers.
And
they don't even use their blasters?
On his PS4 controller to dodge that punch, and he never pressed that X button, so he just kept punching him in the face over and over again.
About him getting punched, how happy I am that Pedro Pascal has learned to wear a helmet when he's getting beat up by a character that's stronger than him. Because we had a pause during that because, like, breakfast was ready and my mom had to leave the room. And I was like, I'm having war flashbacks. You can't just make me pause in the middle of this. This is the mountain all over again.
I actually thought what was going to happen when that punching was going on, that his mask, his helmet was going to get dented. He's going to have to take it off again. And that was going to be how his helmet came off and everyone saw him. And I love that they didn't go that route and that it was him choosing to take it off so that Grogu could see his face. That was such a better thing to do with it.
Well,
I'm an 80s kid who watches an unhealthy amount of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. So
Terminator.
It was straight T-800s to the point where he sets him on fire. And when he set him on fire, I'm like, that's where the T-800 just comes at you like a skeleton. When you set them on fire, it just reveals that they're a metal skeleton. And it just kept punching them. That's all. Mm-hmm.
There's like such an elegance to the way they put together the show. Like with, you know, everyone was like bummed that Fennec Shand was killed in the first season. And it was sort of like to set up this next thing and then this thing after that, which is just amazing. And I love the irony that my least favorite thing of this season, the Dark Troopers, in retrospect, were introduced because there had to be something that was so this is it, end of the line, that you needed Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker to ignite the green. Like it had to be such a drastically like just blatant nuclear thing.
Insurmountable challenge, right?
Yeah.
They knew they weren't going to face them down when they're smashing on the door. And we're going, I thought they were done. I honestly thought they were done.
But before I just have to get this in. This is a thing I have to get out of the way. Before we praise Filoni too much for his storytelling, introducing this for that, where's the payoff for the bloody heli chopper saber thing? Yeah, I remember.
I was going to say it was I actually had a bit of a red herring or a fake out because they made the point of emphasizing specifically the dark saber can cut through anything but pure Beskar. And so when Din walks in carrying the dark saber, which I loved how much you could tell before any line of dialogue what Bo-Katan was thinking and what her concern was about him holding the dark saber.
She was like, no, he didn't.
Yeah, but I 100% thought we were setting up a new fight sequence of Din fighting off the dark saber.
Yeah.
And so when it was Luke that did it, that was actually a fake out for me because it was so much, this can cut through anything. And I was like, oh, but a different lightsaber is going to cut through it instead of the lightsaber we've been seeing the entire episode.
Even that interchange too, where Gideon is kind of goading them because now, Din's got the darksaber and he knows the whole transfer of power thing. And Din's just like, I yield. It's yours. Like, he didn't care. His whole point was rescue Grogu. But Gideon was taking so much malevolent joy out of that exchange with Bo-Katan and Din was brilliant. I know I've jumped ahead, Steele. I'm sorry. So great.
Let's bounce back to the opening shot.
Gideon didn't watch Rebels, that's why.
Now, this opening shot. This reminded me of a scene that I used to reenact when I'd go to my rich friend's house in 1984, and that is a shuttle getting chased by a slave one.
Mm-hmm.
Sal?
I love this moment.
Yeah.
Yo.
How'd you deal with that?
It was like the opening shot. It's the slave one chasing the Lambda class shuttle, and I was like, why do we have a Lambda? I don't even know, but it's dope. and then you get to the part where like they get on and that like there's like a crappy guy that like shoots the other guy, and I'm like, oh, this guy's just a jerk. I don't like this dude already. Like, I already want to shoot this dude. So it was one of those like rare moments where I'm like, get him, Kara.
Yeah, very she was good scene adjacent, as I like to say.
I think your chat made a really good point, by the way, that the dark sabers are really important because you can see Luke slicing through bad guy after bad guy without it being people that he's cutting apart. Like, you can have the fact that Luke is fighting droids allows you to finally have just the Luke Skywalker just badass saber moment without any innocence being hurt.
Totally. It's the battle droid theory.
Twitter was still not happy about that.
Yeah.
What was that, Maggie?
Twitter was still not happy about that. I literally saw somebody saying that he was like killing innocent droids, and I was like,
innocent droids!
They were gonna kill them. Okay, whatever.
They kidnapped Grogu, they all deserve to die.
Right, I was like,
L3 did not fight for droid rights so we can be little droids like this. But to be fair, those punching droids were evil as hell. So, dank Ferrick, let him cut through them.
They're called dark troopers.
Punching droids.
It's implied.
Am I more than my designation?
They literally lined up to get sliced. It's their own fault. They could have, you know. They also
seem to know that their fate was coming, because as soon as Luke came aboard, they were all just like, well, I guess this is it.
I think we saw Luke destroy every one of them.
Yeah.
If that music came on, and I was like, this is how I go out, it's cool.
Lovely Garrett did a great job on appearing in the fog with the lightsaber. You're like, that's how I'm going to die. This is great. It's just like his dad.
Tom, you were making a really good point. Primary. Just
I was.
Yes.
No, I was just saying that we saw, you know, they were in, there were a certain number of them, and it felt like we saw Luke go through each and every one of them, whether on the security camera footage or the actual shots of Luke, you know, in living color, so to speak.
Oh, do you know what someone has to do? Count how many were in those little slots. And then do like a kill count and then see if, you know, there
but
might be
the only ship that had dark troopers.
That adds up.
Well, they're the only ones I'm worried about.
Oh, okay.
Well,
God, that's a good idea. Make that the only, they're all the dark troopers we had in the galaxy. Damn that Luke Skywalker.
Mm. Well, what about the phase one and phase? I know Gideon said there were problems.
I'm going to mute you again, Tom. I'm going to mute you again. There were
Tom, talk more about the ship he fell in love with.
there were some compelling little, like, in-universe things to think about. One of them was our horrible, evil dude that, like, in his mind, which is very 2020, he thought the destruction of the Death Star was a terrible travesty. Yeah. What did you make of this little sort of twist of real world events into Star Wars, Maria?
I think John Mayer needs to stick with music. Not a strong suit either, but it's a start. Wait,
is that really John Mayer?
No, it's just a random white guy that looks like John Mayer.
Oh. Because I just looked at the image and I'm like, oh my God, it is him.
It's actually Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran's back. Ah!
Oh boy!
He's down the hole, but now he's here.
Yeah, I'm just it seemed like something that someone would do if they were desperate and the person that they didn't like didn't win the election.
Mm.
Controversial.
I think
it was our robot chicken moment, wasn't it?
Sal, I love you. Hey, Tom, I'm going to ask an unrelated question to anything right now. Okay. Was that AP-5 that we saw walking through the hallway of that Star Destroyer?
No.
Because if it was, then I love him. Alan Rickman droid? Tell me it's him.
I mean, it was that droid, but AP-5 is like bluish.
It wasn't silver. Singing in space, though, so I can't say.
But I'm all about that singing in space, though. That was amazing. I was like, oh my God, it's AP-5! Everybody get out the room! Oh, it was great.
I was so happy.
Right? That's me when the kids come home, like, oh boy.
So... after they get the doctor, they head off to some random planet, which the Slave One gets such a sweet landing sequence. And then we
John Mayer.
We get this Mando convention. It was so bizarre.
First, when the ship lands, I already knew it was coming because I seen the gauntlet fighter parked outside.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love the gauntlet fighter.
I didn't look familiar, but that is like from Clone Wars.
Yeah, and that's Rebels. Like the Mandalorian ship. And like the little Mandalorians come out of the bottom and they come all flying out on their jetpack and it's dope. Mm-hmm. And I saw it and I was like, yeah! Continue.
Now, peep this. This is another interesting twist in the sort of like real world interactions in the show is how Bo-Katan looks down on Boba Fett for being a clone. Like donation is a diss. Now, this is like she came off so badly, and I paused it at this. This is a brutal pause. It really sums up the vibe. That's a vibe check right there.
She's not having it. She's like, I'm done with clones. Done with them.
She's over it.
This is the second time this season where I'm like, man, I think Bo-Katan might be a little bit racist. Like,
against Ryan.
She's a little bit like, you know, like I let it slide years ago when she said no outsider will ever rule Mandalore, and I'm like, what do you mean outsider?
She's a little too Almec.
There's a little bit of that.
I am done with Almec. Almec lied to me, and I feel personally attacked by this.
Almec, you Dank Ferrick, you a liar.
I don't trust anyone wearing a tuxedo T-shirt version of Beskar armor.
That's true. Also,
his little like shoulder ribbons, those are tight though.
It was suspicious, wasn't it? The signs were all there. I just didn't see them. Wow. I believe it.
I'm good. I'm gonna mute now.
I love the fact that she kind of came at him like, no, like I'm not having it. Like I loved it. And Sasha, like it's boss time. It is boss time.
When he called her little one, I was like, ooh.
Yeah. And that they ended that whole, like, that was a great fight sequence. Both of them broke a table. But they ended it basically with the Mandalorian version of Mine's Bigger Than Yours with the arm-mounted flame jets. And, like, it was Din just like, yeah, come on, you guys, calm down. We got to talk this out.
Look, my wife will be the first to tell you that I'm not a doctor. I don't think that's how fire works, but I love every second of it.
Like
that whole scene, like there's two Mandos walk in a bar and there's two Mandos there already. Like, there's that gauntlet fighter. I love
and
that
I also
scene.
Love that all four Mandos are different. Like they're not like just cookie cutter. Like each one of them had such a different way of approaching being a Mando. Mm-hmm. Like, even Sasha Banks and it's like even such a different, like, even the one working for Bo-Katan, they're not like locks, like step. Like Bo-Katan's one like shuts it down after a while. And I love that it shows that there is a range you can have within. It's not just the armor, as opposed to, you know, in season one in the covert where everyone was kind of lockstep. Like this is the way we don't know how many of us are because we're all kind of the same. And that is so different than what you're getting in this one, which was great.
Every time you think the dialogue can't get better, it gets better. She's literally like, I heard your voice 1,000 times, and you're like, oh, and then he's like, mine might be the last one you ever hear. And you're like,
so good.
I love that we all just assume that Tom Kane is the same voice. Dee Bradley Baker is the same voice as all of, you know, what's going on with the clones in the movies. I love that there's like no attempt to blend the two voices. It's just like, deal with it.
I love it.
Her
princess. I love that so much.
That was
great.
It was sort of like a charming dickishness. Sal, do you like Twin Peaks?
I've never seen Twin Peaks.
Okay, because if you got into the fandom, it would work. That's all I'm going to say.
Where's Corky? We've seen Bo-Katan. No, he can't be dead. Corky's not dead.
They said there was like nobody left.
Corky,
and she was the last of her line. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. That's because Obi-Wan is Obi-Wan's kid and not actually heir.
He was
right. Eternity.
I remember him, and he was never wearing Beskar. You know, like there was a lot going down.
He was a soft boy.
Yeah, he baby. Yeah, he's not doing that. He's looking for a strong woman to protect him.
Hey,
Mariah's been with me a long time.
Riley, does Dr. Pershing live in L.A.?
I think he's right. I think he definitely is about to give what directions he took to get on what freeway.
Oh, my God.
I think you might have passed him today on your way back from the beach coming to town. I think he might have been in the convertible behind you.
He tried to cut me off, I think.
He turned in his COVID results, so he's good for the production. So everything's cool.
To go back to your question earlier about the I had friends on that Death Star moment, I think what helped undercut that guy and feeling sorry for him at all was that he had just murdered his friend right in front of, like, the fact that, like, he murdered somebody and then it's like, hey, but you shouldn't have blown up the Death Star. It's like, oh, cool. There's no attempt to actually make this guy seem like he's being reasonable and has a real point here.
He was trying to justify it by saying, you know, we only blew up Alderaan. You blew up the Death Star twice. No, 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 no.
Like, how many million people died on Alderaan, he said?
Yeah,
Maggie, what were you gonna say? I feel like you were about to say something, baby.
I really like the turn of Dr. Pershing. Like, I feel like he fits that spaghetti western trope of, like, the doctor who kind of fell in line with, like, the bad guys, and then, like, the good guys come in and he's like, oh my god, thank god you're here. I've been waiting for somebody to show up. Here's all the information. This is how you can stop them from doing the bank heist. Like, it was just, like, the perfect, like, spaghetti western trope, and I love that. And I love Dr. Pershing, and I hope that he is sleeping well tonight. I hope he's safe.
I didn't feel sorry for that guy. He, like, I hated him even more because he reminded me of the internet. Like, he definitely has a Parler account, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, 100%.
Parler, my God.
Oh, Parler, yeah. I don't know how to
pronounce him. Along with a certain character.
I don't trust that dude.
Nope.
I don't trust him.
The irony of the person killing him, too.
Yes, exactly. Oh, my God, yes.
Yes, there is.
All right, David Lozano on Facebook. Got him. My wife is convinced there is an owl in their house now.
Name of the owl is Morai.
Yes.
Now, not that like impactful in the storyline, but just we've got to give props for an amazing shot. Look at that.
Yes. Oh, so good. See, I rate this one higher than the opener.
Yes, I would as well, but the opener was just, like, that's your surprise, do you know what I mean?
Sure.
But super, super cool.
I think that Din is going to take that shuttle as his new ship.
I hope he does.
He just needs to refit it with, you know, new paint job and a carbon freeze chamber. Now he has a new way of getting around.
I was hoping he would get a gauntlet, but that's fine.
Then
I accept.
After that, go Malk if you were gonna jump in.
Maybe Din will give them the Imperial Cruiser for the gauntlet and the Darksaber.
I mean, the Lambda, a shuttle worked for Hondo, it can work for them too,
right?
Work for Din.
Oh, Hondo.
Where are you, Hondo?
I miss you, boy. Where are you?
Where are you?
Alex, everybody, I am sitting somewhere with an owl.
Galaxy's Edge right now. That's what he's doing.
Is he drinking? Is he hydrated? Is he okay?
just think about, he's standing there. He's just been staying there by himself for months. Because if you've ever seen, he looks so lifelike.
He does.
Now he's just... Is there now, like, as we're talking, he's there, just like.
I think they turn it off.
What well, that Ronco is probably burnt to a crisp at this point. The one is just being turned
on. Turn. My mom and I do that, like, throughout the day. Like, we'll just randomly be like, turn.
I do miss Galaxy's Edge.
I do too, so much.
Places.
Right. I'm sad too because last time I was there, I almost bought Ahsoka's two hilts, and I didn't because I was like, oh, I'll get it next time. And then I'll get it next time. And now I'll probably never get them again because now Ahsoka's going to be such a popular character, I won't be able to get her.
Right?
Yeah.
All the merchandise. I told everybody slow down on the merchandise, all right?
COVID came around and said there will be no next time.
Right?
I live in another country and I don't think I'll get to go.
Never say never.
It's a lot of fun. You will go one day.
I'll definitely put one in Japan or China at some point. You'll be able to go a little bit shorter of a plane ride from where you're at. You do.
It's more COVID than I'm worried about, but I hope so.
I mean, you got a few months. I think you'll be okay. Like, I think we have we're a year away. I think you'll be fine.
What's COVID?
I don't know, man. America's crazy.
Okay. Boy, from
That's my favorite character, the guy that hasn't read a newspaper for like 10 months.
Are you talking about Den? Because Den doesn't know anything. Den hasn't read a newspaper.
On that note, I love that, like, because Den is the guy that we've seen who is like the hardcore Mandalorian fundamentalist. So I think it's fascinating. He both doesn't know about the Darksaber and also doesn't care about the Darksaber. Like, I like that, like, we suddenly have this moment that he's super in the dark and not like blasé about, whereas that's the moment where Bo-Katan is suddenly like, no, it has to be done this way. And I want to know all about, like, how did she go from the person in Rebels who was given the Darksaber and was okay with it to now being like, no, I have to have it, which means that, like, there must be something tied into how she lost power because she didn't earn the thing in battle. Now she has to have it that way.
Yeah.
Definitely a missing piece.
That had it handed to her, and now she's like, well, everything went to hell, so I can't do that again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask, given that we got Din in a very touching moment with Grogu revealing himself, taking his helmet off, which he said he would never do, and we know in the past episode he had to, blah, blah, blah. Do you think that that might be part of how they gloss over that, and that Bo-Katan is okay with being given / having him yield, giving her the Darksaber, given that he just went against everything he was trained to stand for? She even calls him out on it when they first meet.
Mm-hmm. Bo-Katan's really stubborn, and we've seen her go to extremist lengths with her own ideology, and I really do think that they're setting up for some sort of friction there.
Super fair.
The thing is with the whole yielding is, and people like, oh, they didn't, you know, Sabine didn't yield and all that. It's like, have we not learned any lessons? Like, this is like one of the guys that made all this stuff up is making the show. And it's sort of like when they take the masks off or not to mask, like, he's made up a reason.
Yeah.
You will find out one day. It's like, I feel like they've earned that thing. They're not going to be like, oh, we didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Like, I think this guy's thought about it, like,
if anything, way too much. The show is called The Mandalorian, and the main character of The Mandalorian now is holding the object that means that he should be the heir to the throne of Mandalore. I can't imagine that Dave Filoni didn't think, yeah, there's probably a reason behind why I'm having these steps happen. Like, the fact that, like, And that the driving force of his life for the last two seasons has now been taken away from him, and now suddenly he's in a new situation where his whole history is gone. He's no longer a bounty hunter. He's you know, turned against the guild, whatever. But now he's got the Darksaber that he's being told, this makes you the heir to the throne, and here's the woman who's supposed to have it. Like, there's a lot of story being set up there on a show called The Mandalorian. So, yeah.
And can we talk about how beautiful it'll be if that is the ultimate endgame of Den being that leader of Mandalore, considering he is a foundling and that he has had this emotional, spiritual journey into figuring out what being an actual Mandalorian means, and that it's not about sticking to these, like, regimented rules. It's about caring about foundlings and, like, building this new generation. And I think that would just be, like, a perfect, beautiful, especially pulling from Clone Wars and Rebels and, like, perfect universe.
Comes back to the Satine elements of it, of like trying to change the way Mandalore operates and how to adapt the universe. Yes.
And that's how the Mandalore fell, is they were so purist and rigid. so rigid to their beliefs that's why they keep failing. They need somebody who seems really rigid but is willing to change. And we've seen consistently that Din is, like, very respectful. He learns about other cultures before he goes to those places and communicates with them. And, like, he seems like the perfect person to lead. He's just, like, unwitting, which is, like, the perfect spaghetti Western trope as well. Yeah, the guy who just accidentally becomes the mayor of the town.
It's very interesting. That point is just very, being a foundling and then experiencing all this stuff could be the ultimate, like for Mandalorians, he could be the hope poster, like the guy that's sort of been through it all and can, like, hey, all these rules, like, I was super strict and, like, I don't know, is this Din guy gonna have an expose documentary on HBO Max about how he escaped the cult? That's what I want to know.
He one time he gets stuck in calamari flan as payment.
Yeah.
I think the girls are really onto something. If we think back to when the series was first announced, one of the first pieces of information that we learned was that the Mandalorian would be liberating Mandalore or restoring it. That was one of the first pieces before we knew anything about Baby Yoda or anything at all. I believe it was mentioned before Celebration that that was the pitch. So I think that we're on the right track, and I think the ladies are really on to something there.
Yeah.
I concur.
And to Steele's point of, like, people who have seen Rebels, I mean, I'm pretty sure Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni have seen Rebels and Clone Wars.
Are you sure, though?
You guys are talking about. I don't know. One directed it and one did a voice, but like, I'm pretty sure they got that all covered over there. Everything we saw, they probably saw.
Yeah.
Now, as Catherine Neen points out, Din is also a fantastic, loving dad, which makes this scene, as we'll jump to, like, I was infuriated.
Yeah.
I was like, push all the buttons on your wrist. And then this. Do some of that. Tom, you know, you're shoulder deep in the minutiae of the Star Wars galaxy. What did you think about the expository dialogue that Giancarlo Esposito, who I just before you go, I was saying that Bill Burr is like one of the best actors in Star Wars, but the fact that this dude is so nice in real life, but Bill Burr is exactly the same. This guy's doing a better job.
There's a curve he got a grade on.
But run us through some of the more interesting things that he referenced in the canon or added to it.
Well, he referenced that he knew about Din's weaponry in the fact that I don't remember exactly the phrase he uses, but the fact that Din was all out of whistling birds because he used them all against the Dark Troopers. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to take it back for just 1 second. I loved when Din was going through the ship and he was on that bridge over the portal to the space. He knocked a stormtrooper off and there was this beautiful little noise when the guy passed through the force field. I just wanted to...
Ratio.
Yes, the ratio. I love that moment. But yeah,
I love the accent, Sal. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
My best Grievous.
It was pretty good. Needs a few more coughs, fewer owls, but it was really good.
Tom,
you're a little more Bane than you are Grievous.
No. It's 2020. Don't ask anyone to cough more, please. This is high def. I could catch anything at any time.
So then Gideon was, I believe here he was talking about how they were he mentioned the Dark Troopers and the three phases. He mentioned using Grogu's blood and having everything he wanted, and that is what will restore order to the galaxy. And I don't know if that, obviously that's a hint to us about the First Order. I don't know if that means he's working directly for Palpatine or as part of the First Order overall. I'd like to think that Palpatine and the Final Order part that we learned about in The Rise of Skywalker were so deep that no one who had any relation to the main characters in the current galaxy as we know it would know anything about Palpatine being back at this point.
Yeah.
But I think Gideon was talking about something related to the early First Order.
I can see Gideon being part of the project to create Snoke and maybe not knowing that there's an extra layer beyond that. Like, I could see that. Like, I think Pride knows that Palpatine is still alive and has known all along. I could see Gideon's role being more the process of building Snoke. Oh, we need a new leader that can be this powerful leader, so we're going to build one.
Right. There was a lot of that type of stuff in the Rise of Skywalker novelization about, like, how deep Pride was and certain people were disappearing from the Empire to go to the First Order, and then certain people from the First Order were disappearing, and they ended up with the Final Order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to offer that we had Thrawn referenced 4 or 5 episodes ago, and we have not seen. So surely this opens up some of that, you know, big bad Fugu stuff that we can expect in season 3, possibly beyond, where we start to see that, of course, Gideon has a boss. How does that relationship work, and what does that look like in the nature of this part of the universe?
Yeah. Well, do you think, that Thrawn is being set up as the MacGuffin for Ahsoka's series? Like, you think
that would be the first show?
Because that would be not Din, so I think that might be, like, seeds for her story.
Yeah, well, She comes into the Mandalorian story. She wants a bit of information. She gets it where Thrawn is, and now she's off again. And she's off to a Kathleen Kennedy presentation.
Kathleen even said in that thing, it's going to be very Avengers phasey, and that we're going to have like these Rangers, Mandalorian, Ahsoka are they're going to like form back together into one big story.
It's going to be a poem that rhymes.
Yeah,
and it's now the Book of Boba Fett probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but is that going to be, I have not seen confirmation. Is that a new series or is that the next season of The Mandalorian? Like, I haven't figured out based on what we're.
It's a one time thing.
Yeah.
But, like, it essentially is the next. I don't know if there's going to be another episode of a show called The Mandalorian or not.
The very limited understanding that I have is that, season 3 of The Mandalorian kicks off Christmas Day next year and that we'll get the Book of Boba Fett Q4 next year.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm allowed to say.
Say it all.
Yeah.
Say it all. Wait, no. What? Did you just say it debuts on Christmas Day?
So The Mandalorian returns on Christmas Day. That was confirmed at the Investors Day. And yes, season 3 of The Mandalorian is currently in production. They've already started filming for season 3. But with that, hasn't started yet.
Okay. No.
Christmas Day.
Yeah.
This Christmas Day, we get Disney Gallery season 2 starting.
Yeah, but I don't have to wake up at... I don't have to be up at midnight. I know it's my own fault, but... Yeah.
You're going to be up at Christmas Eve at midnight. You're going to be up looking for Santa, so you might as well watch The Mandalorian.
That's right. You have jobs to do, Dad.
All right. That's good. We've got a year to work on these excuses.
There you go.
52 weeks until The Mandalorian comes back.
Are we really not going to get any new Star Wars between now and Christmas Day of next year?
No, we'll get Bad Batch.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we will.
I'm excited about Bad Batch. I wasn't until the meeting, Fennec. And now I'm like, okay, now that I see what they're doing with it, I'm excited about it.
Fennec won me over.
Yeah, Fennec for sure. If Bad Batch, I'm hoping Bad Batch is the Bad Batch turning against the Empire, and we're seeing those like very early days of the rebellion again, like the stuff that we're seeing in the Ahsoka novel as a animated series. I'm really hoping that's what we're gonna see because I'm excited about that.
Me too. And I'm hoping that we connect why Boba Fett saved Fennec because obviously there's an opportunity for them to interact.
Well, Maggie, when you've spent 3 years
here we go
left out of the Sarlacc studying tummy robotics, and you see a perfect specimen that you can tummy robotic,
gotta rearrange some guts.
That was his ignite the green. It was the moment he was born to have.
Ignite the guts.
Why the guts?
Great.
Ignite the spleen.
Okay, she's 57 and killing it out there. He's a guy that's been out in the desert alone for a long time. Listen, I'm not mad at him. Okay, she's got her crap together.
I think she's got an alcohol.
Sometimes fate steps in.
take the good with the bad. You know, what are you gonna do?
Hey, and I'm just saying,
It's not like it's Catholic school. You know, it's Tatooine.
Hey, Spotchka. We all want some Spotchka.
Right. What do you think Jabba was out there pushing? It wasn't daisies. Come on.
He's pushing.
I like it when Jabba puts the little bells in his Spotchka.
Now, yeah, but I'm just saying, he was pushing that work back in the day. You know he was.
I love that Finnick walked in first, took out the people, saved the
Twi'lek. I was all about it. I was like, that's not enough. Lorena Bobbitt, let's go. You know what's been happening, sis.
All right, we're jumping around. We're not staying on canon. Sal, you're a purveyor of space karate. What did you make of this little piece of action?
The fight scene was good. I like the idea of having another weapon that can fight a lightsaber because it's something that we don't see. You know, like, you know, we get a lightsaber versus lightsaber, and then you have the prequels, so we have like electrostas versus lightsaber, which is like kind of the same thing, but they just use the ends. But I like how Din was able to use it. Like, he's like kicking it up off the floor and like whipping it up over his shoulder. That way he can like get it like up real quick. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is like pretty tight. This is pretty cool. But I have to say that the simplicity and blade attitude of whoever did the Luke stuff was fire. Like, all of, like, there's one point where he like cuts down on a dark trooper, and it's like a snap and a retract. Like, and that's like the kind of blade control that you don't see in a lot of these bigger movies. Everything is big swings and 17 million backflips and like all this flash. But like, as a martial artist, dude, you recognize like cleanliness in that technique, that crisp technique, dude. That's good stuff. I enjoyed
it. I just did a Google image for the term "what a dick," and this showed up. What?
He's the definition of a messy bitch who loves drama. Like, him watching things play out is just, yeah. You can tell why he likes drama.
TikTok is messy TikTok.
Yeah.
And then you've got this vibe check.
Ah,
yep.
Brutal.
Okay. I need those clips.
And then we had the dark troopers, and like, it's just too much for me. It's
I really loved them, honestly. I know that there was some
Iron Man too.
Dark troopers. I thought it was amazing. I agree. Maybe they punched a little bit more. They should have done some shooting or something. But it was brilliant to introduce them. The use of them as far as that build up, as we've talked about, but that they played such a critical role in progressing. The plot around, well, super duper, we need some more, you know, Jedi blood. We'll just send the boys down. They'll get him and see ya, take off. Doesn't matter who's going to come and shoot out. They're done. So they are ass kicking troopers that met their match, but so great.
Maria has to bail on the East Coast, but what we need from you, Maria, before you go is some sweet plugs and a score out of 10 that I can add to the total on this episode.
Oh, for the episode, yeah. Hey, what's up? What's happening? It's me, Maria. And if you're not listening to Sisters with Sabers, you should be. You can follow us at Sabers With. You can follow me at Blurred Girl Jedi on Twitter and Instagram if you're really bored. And you can catch me on the Katana Cast as well. So Sisters with Sabers and Katana Cast are my two shows, and they're mostly focused on building a community of diversity around Star Wars and getting some new, fresh voices out there. So both shows are amazing, and I want to thank Steele for having me on. I love being
here. Thank you.
And you fabulous people who I love and adore. Thank you for your time. We are transitioning Ahsoka to a toddler bed, so we have to kind of like maneuver that. It takes time.
Love it.
Interesting. How old is Ahsoka now?
In a toddler bed, she's two.
Yeah, he's in a double bed and he loves it.
Oh, she hates it.
Oh no, because he like, you know, the end of The Simpsons when Homer, he leads the union to get the dental plan, and then at the end,
dental plan,
and then but then at the end, like, he has to quit. Like, Monty Burns makes him quit if he gets what he wants.
Yeah,
and then afterwards, he's so relieved. He does that thing on the ground where he's like, like, that's curly. That's what Harry does in his sleep the whole time. He's like, it's just doing circle work.
Yeah,
so he
like that.
He's likes, been jumping out of the crib.
He makes crop circles.
Oh wow, that sounds elaborate.
But
she jumps out of the crib, and I was never more proud of her. She
backflips
out of the crib, and behind her is the wall, and she grabs the lightsaber, pulls it down, and runs to the front of the crib with it and turns it on. And I'm like, I don't know if I should be impressed or pissed. Because she ripped it off the wall, so it's like, okay, I gotta put it back on the wall. But I'm also like,
she's like, Mom, I'm a
that's
Jedi.
My kid. Like, you're a VA. Like, I was very proud of her.
Now, awesome. Here's a parenting tip for you, Maria, from one parent to another.
I'm writing it down. Hold on.
Okay,
get a parent.
Good. Get ready for this. Listen, if she has trouble getting to sleep in this new bed, she might need some soothing sounds. Okay. So just ring Sal and get him to leave the phone.
There you go.
Get that bird on the line.
We'll put the Morai up. There we go.
Say? All right, out of 10, Maria, what'd you give it?
I would say I'm going to go with 10. I'm going to go with 10. The running bulldog makes it a 10. Ready for it. I'm here for it.
Nice.
A lot of feminism. I'm with it. A lot of girl power. And no one's competing with the other woman. Like, we're all working together. It's beautiful. Lots of diversity in the approach with women. So I love it. It worked out for me.
Excellent. And I listened to, I think it's the last Katana cast with that had Emily on it. And it was awesome. Highly recommended. Good chat.
Oh, thanks.
Good
Thank
chat.
You guys. Have a great night, everyone. Love you all.
Happy holidays, mate. All righty. So we've done the little death trooper. Is anyone got any other, not death trooper, dark trooper? Maggie, what did you make of them?
The dark troopers? I was terrified. I'd been like building these up in my mom's head because like she's not aware of like the stuff in like the video games or like auxiliary comics, and so I've been like, seriously, they're gonna get their butts kicked if they go up against like a troop of dark troopers. They're screwed. And then when he threw them out the airlock, I was like, oh, that was too easy. That was way too easy. And I just kept going like, they're screwed, like somebody's going to have to show up, somebody's like, they're screwed. Like, the Darksaber's not even going to be like enough to take on these troopers. I felt like it was going to be overpowering.
We're so different, because when they went out the airlock, I was like, yes, they're gone.
So, too easy.
I was like,
they can fly. They have feet rockets. I was like,
they can fly now. They're droids. They don't. They fly now. Yeah, they're droids. They don't need to breathe. Like, what was the whole?
Well, I was just happy to see them go. So I was like, oh, they're done. I was like, I remember just going, oh, sweet, they're done. That's the best. I hope there's not any more, because that would suck. But again, in retrospect, I understand why they're there. You know what I'm saying? Right there, I'm just about to hit.
Wait for it, Mariah.
Where's the bird now?
We start talking about it, Mariah, chill down.
There was some alert about a vehicle approaching.
Yeah. Beep, 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 beep.
And then.
Ah.
There it went. I feel like I'm not going to get checked just for this amount, but I have to just let it. Oh,
magic.
Oh, and you can hear the X-Wing sound in there.
I just yelled, oh, shit.
Yeah, the X-Wing sound.
Yeah.
And everyone watched it. Everyone on the bridge was transfixed by this X-Wing just flying past. Everyone watched it. It was so good.
I then, just to see this, like, he landed. He's going to get out. I never even imagined that R2 would be in there as well. But So
you need an astromech to fly an X-Wing, so it makes total sense that he was there. So it's so yeah.
Well, that's the thing. When he came out, I was like, oh, and then of course he's there. Mm-hmm.
But I had the exact reaction you did watching your video where you just started laughing when he appeared. That's exactly how, like, it was like a giddy, just giggle. It was like, that's the exact moment I think where I fully landed back at being 8 years old. Of just like, like when R2 arrived, I was like, of course R2 is here. Of course, everybody's here. Let's have fun with it. Like, it was just such a moment. Like,
Oh my gosh.
It's happening again.
Yeah.
I like this is so, smacking blankets. I was just like, I can't believe this is happening right now.
This is the point.
This is the point where I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is not Trapper Wolf.
Maybe it's still Quinlan Vos. There's all a lot of Quinlan Vos.
Justice.
Like my wife at one point is like, maybe it's Boss, it's Green, and then like she was like, I can't tell if he has hand wraps or not, and I'm like, he never does. I know it's not, but it's okay, it's fine, right, Mariah?
Look at final, that.
So good. And the final, because all of them match differently, but that all he does is just reach out and force crush the last one.
That was magic.
So good. So good.
Like Michael
the
brings up
music.
Michael Nitt brings up a good point. Steel, were you afraid you were only going to see the vid screen Luke action? So technically we wouldn't see the green igniting. I was just like, is he going to be there? Is it all going to be through these screens? And then like, it was, like, there's a green lightsaber, and I really like him. Oh, and then we had who was it that got shot? Is it Bo-Katan?
Bo-Katan got shot.
Okay, he shoots Bo-Katan 10 times in the armor.
Yep.
See, I can't. I'm so befuddled by Luke that I was like, oh, yeah, someone in a Mandalorian outfit got shot. I remember that. Yep.
Then he turns the gun on Grogu.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Like, yeah, that got like, and then like, you know, fine. But, dude, can't do that to me at 12:25.
You're not killing the Grogu. Although, the show.
He was trying.
Now, Sal, you touched on it before with the lightsaber work. I still... Like, when it happens, I can't really concentrate. Like, I can't analyze it or anything. Like, how did he go? Is he still got it, the old guy?
Like, I loved it. Like, and there's like a, I don't even know how to explain it, but like, you know, like I dabble with lightsaber stuff. I've been doing martial arts most of my life. There's like a beauty in the simplicity
you've been in this fight since you were 6 years old, you know what I'm saying?
I've been playing with lightsabers since I was 6 years old. Suddenly it's real for you. Now that you have a podcast.
These are all moves that you could see like, Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi doing. They weren't like flips and acrobatic things. Like,
but they're Anakin style moves. They're very like they're like, kind of Luke, moves like oh, he yeah. has that natural.
He does some behind the back stuff that's like Anakin style, but there's still like he's not spinning all over the place. Like there's very sharp movement. Yeah. Like there's boom.
Yeah,
flick right. boom.
The
flick
flips boom. Are very like, Ahsoka like, but that is not how Luke or Anakin fight, which is a great like way
and,
to do.
And like, but in the Ahsoka, like it's because of the animation style that like you get those sharp movements like that.
Yeah.
So, like, to see it real life in these sharp flicks, like, to me, that denotes somebody who studied, like another martial artist who has, who knows how to handle a blade. And that kind of thing is something that I respect and I love. And, and it's just, like, it's not excessive. And it's not, like, when you go back to episode one, there is so much spinning and some, and it's beautiful and it's great, but it's not Luke. Like Luke is simple. Luke is to the point. Luke is not. Luke doesn't have an ego about it. Luke isn't like, you know what I mean? Like Anakin had so much fun with fighting. It's why like Anakin's like style is a little excessive and like how overpowering, and it becomes even harder when he becomes Vader.
Yeah.
And when he's Vader, it distills down to like a brutality of power.
Yeah.
But Luke is just like a simplicity.
Well, and Luke doesn't have any formal training. Like, there's been no formal. Echo like, he's had, Luke's had, you know, one training with Obi-Wan on the Millennium Falcon, and everything else he's learned as a lightsaber is either through fighting Vader or training with himself and with Yoda. He hasn't had a lifetime of lightsaber training with the master the way that a Padawan would have had.
We got to imagine that he's uncovered. So, you know, like in everything we've seen so far, thank you, Mariah. Everything we've seen so far from the like of Luke after Jedi or in between Jedi and Empire. Yes.
Yeah.
He's been searching like for Jedi knowledge and finding holocrons and like, look, I all of a sudden showed up at Jocasta News, little hidden cache of library things. So like we know he's hunting for this knowledge, and like in theory he's found more. Like maybe he has met Ahsoka already. We don't even know.
Well, what I mean by that, what I meant by the training thing is he's only getting it academically and learning his own way through it, as opposed to the master teaching him. Although, I mean, you could possibly argue that he's being taught by Anakin's Force ghost to some degree, which would also make a little bit of sense.
Yo.
And there is that shot. Luke, like,
I'm going to tell you this one thing real quick. Yo, this behind the back right here is fire. When you do this. When you do this in the camera, they're going to be like, oh, like anytime you come up on a bunch of droids, bam, flick, bam, flick. Okay, do it again. Do it a few times.
Bam, and then he taught flick. Ben, and that's why Kylo can do it too. Yeah.
And now, flick. Oh, wow. That was quite a good thing. Now, it was at this shot when two of my favorite things in Star Wars became connected. Maggie, what did you make of Grogu on the iPad watching a bit of Luke Skywalker get into it?
This is how I felt watching it. I was just like, I was sitting and I was just like, oh my God, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. And I loved it. I loved also that there seemed to be like a knowing between Din and the child, where like they looked at each other, like there was a very brief look, and I could just feel like Din being like, this is like my last like few minutes. Like this is like the Jedi is going to rescue us and he's come for you. Like, and I was like thinking that, but then also I was just like, Luke Skywalker, Luke Skywalker, Luke Skywalker. And my brain was broken. I've never been rendered speechless by a television show before or even a movie. It was like an absolutely brand new experience for me. And I'm a very talkative person.
Now, Tom, peep this.
Oh, master.
That was a great shot. And I don't know. It was very distracting because it looks like Luke is wearing a face mask.
You know, he may have been.
He may have been, but yeah, that was
nice of Ren represent.
That was in the final hallway, and it was beautiful, and you could see how, in just with what Sal said, how Luke could in the Rise of Kylo Ren comic series take on the whole Knights of Ren without any problem.
Short
for a dark trooper.
I do say that Luke Skywalker attacking all these dark troopers would make for a very hard to solve episode of Crime Stoppers. Because there was no like good, we've got no photos of the suspect at all. He had a hoodie on. The police
reenactment would be tough.
It would be very. Mm-hmm. The reenactment would be.
Unfortunately, the videos are all in black and white. We can't even tell what color his saber was.
It was so cleverly done, too.
Yeah.
Because then you see the gloves, and you like the gloves, and then you see the boots, and you see like the whole thing, and you're just, if you didn't know who it was, you knew who it was.
Yeah, you see the hilt of the saber, and like that is the saber, that is the green saber, like not just the blade, but that is the actual Luke Skywalker saber.
Yeah.
Now, just the artistry of a shot of the rest of the cast basking in the glow.
You can see it in his armor. It's so great.
Just, oh, oh. Now, what do we, I can't, let's, we'll now risk another little,
I can't see you getting pinged by Disney for this, honestly. You've got virtual jizz on your keyboard from it.
Oh my God. So good.
So good.
The hands clasp.
Like, yeah. I don't even know if it's good or bad. I can't, like, it's such a religious thing. It cannot, like, now I get how people, like, oh, you can't question whatever. They can't question the Pope or Muhammad. It's like, I can't question this. It's just there. Oh. It's Luke Skywalker. I accept it.
Well, I've got
how many of them besides? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, a common friend of ours, Steele, Paul Verhoeven, yes, sent me a video of that original scene, which, look, is great, and I understand that some people have some CGI issues with what's going on around the facial area, and look, that's okay. I'm happy to overlook that, right? I'm just purist in the joy, and I'm digging it. Someone has already done a deep fake version of that, which infinitely improves the CGI of Luke's face. And Paul has this side by side of the deep fake version compared to that original one. And it's amazing. Amazing.
But doesn't that then make it's not Mark Hamill acting it, or like, I don't really understand what a deep fake, like that it's someone's face.
They replicate it to the points. They take the points from one person's face and they replicate somebody else's face over onto the points.
Because the critical, cool, but
it's not good in film.
The criticism around it is, of course, the top lip particularly, but around the mouth when they talk, the words don't quite look like they're coming out of formed mouth in that. And that's the challenge of CGI. And look, it's 2020. We couldn't have done this 5 years ago. The deepfake version, mate, it is Mark Hamill standing there talking. I can promise you it looks incredible.
Really? I can't, I can't judge because, like, how do I judge the thing that made me the happiest in such a unique, like, I've had, like, happier, more real moments about, like, things that are actually real, but off in my little 12-year-old boy life, like, this is, so I can't. It's like it's the Kenner figures. They're brutal, but they're the best. You know what I'm saying? Because they just they brought me so much happiness. And for some reason, I don't like the word deepfake because it's every time I see something, oh, we've deepfaked this. It's always super tacky. So I think I've got bad brand. Recognition or something.
Sure.
He looks like Battlefront Luke from the video games. Tremendously.
Spent a lot of time with Battlefront Luke.
Then, if anything, if I was going to critique this episode at all, apart from like the battle scene in the middle not doing much for me, and but I think in the context of what happened at the end, like then it's sort of like, oh, of course they can't, like they're sort of like, this isn't the big final battle. My criticism would be that it was a little bit like there was no discussion. It was just like, I'm here. I don't know. There was no time to sort of like, I'm here. I'm getting him.
Luke gets to the point.
Like there was no like when they met Ahsoka, there was sort of like a time lapse of talking and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that would be my one thing, that it was just like, I'm in. Hey, little dude, give him permission. I'm out. But despite that, after. And you know, like they said this when they were writing episode 7, that when they had Luke Skywalker in, it just ate up everything and all the attention was on him. And there's so many amazing things that happened in this episode apart from that. Namely, number one for me, was this piece of work. Mm-hmm. Like, finally, he takes it off just out of comforting his little boy, Grogu.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's like this double down. And so props to everyone, like, that's worked on it, that's built up this moment for 16 episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, we now know how we've seen them come together. We know what this means. But then to have his little cute little Yoju hand, Grogu hand, and then Din's probably never been touched on the face before, his reaction.
Mm.
The way he closed his eyes and just like leaned into it, I am shattered on the floor.
I think it ties into what Maggie was saying earlier about Din as a foundling, and it's this element of, as much as he has this dogmatic idea of this is the way and all these things, ultimately he cares more about Grogu than he does about his faith in this Mandalorian creed. And that is the moment where he takes the helmet off in front of Grogu, and that's him saying that. Like that's his bigger drive within the Mandalorian idea, is this foundling, care of foundlings, following through and protecting them, and as he was himself, and that's what he's doing with Grogu, and that's that click. I almost wish we hadn't had the helmet removal in the previous episode. Like, I get why it had to happen, and like it made sense for it in the moment, but I think it does undercut in the next movie, in the next episode, to have another helmet removal. Right, like I like that he took it off. Like, I gotta save this kid. This is what I have to do for it, so I'm gonna do it. But I think that the impact in this episode, I wish that it had been the first time all season he had taken it off, and it had been like, this is the first time he's done it in front of any living creature. It would have been really interesting to me. But
I totally agree for Din's story, but if Mayfield's going to be an ongoing character in another show, the moment where Mayfield, who's been ragging on him about not taking his mask off, the moment that he like then doesn't look at him and gives his helmet, like that's that's a Mayfield character moment, like pure like baby face.
I wish it hadn't been in the exact episode before this episode. Like, I think if it had been 2 episodes ago or 3 ago, I would have liked it more. I still loved it in this episode. Like, I think it was exactly the right thing to do, and I think it said so much about both Grogu and Din. I just wish that it hadn't been the episode right after the last time he took his helmet off.
I also think that there might have been an element of, they know the audience, and they know that we somehow magically forget that Pedro Pascal is in there until we see his face. And they're like, oh my God, it's Pedro Pascal. And I almost think that they knew that with the Luke reveal that our brains were going to be melting. And so that they gave us the opportunity to be like, hey, remember who's under the mask? Here's his face. Mm. So that when we had that reveal, we were more focused on the tenderness between the two, because we're already competing with the music, which was the most emotional thing, and cursing Luke, like, why would you do this? But we were also like, we knew Luke Skywalker was there. So I think that they realized like a lot is going to be happening, and we can't, like, I feel like if we hadn't seen Din's face since the last season finale, we would have been like, oh my God, this is happening too. And then like, I would have been mute for 3 hours instead of two.
That's fair.
I'll go like a little bit the other way, and I think that it kind of like it like led to this moment really well, because like you have them in the first season like doing that, and then IG-88 is like, well, or not IG-88, IG-11, sorry everybody, is the one that's like, look, I'm not a living being, it's fine, okay, like, so you see how he starts to kind of bend the rules, and then in this season he meets the other Mandalorians who take off their helmets every time they want to like do anything, and he's like, what, like, you know what I mean? So like you get him, it sort of starts taking away from the like dogmatic view of what he thinks a Mandalorian is and to what he like chooses to believe and find what he's willing to fight for. Those cracks like slowly chipping away,
big
like,
step for him,
I think, make this a really good moment. He didn't take it off because he had to. He took it off because he wanted to here.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
And
this is the first time he's taking it off willingly as opposed to having to do it for a situation.
Yes. And all that stuff you say about, you know, how he went the dogmatics, that's why he's going to, like, that's why I'm sort of excited if he does lead Mandalore. Like, he can be the one that's sort of, you know, like, the reformist. Now, Maggie, I know it's late where you're at and you have to bail, so I'm going to leave you with this to comment on. The, you know, We joked about Luke coming on the show, Sebastian Stan, all that good stuff. So we you know, in our fantasy of fantasy, we had considered that Luke Skywalker would meet baby Grogu. But were we prepared for the cuteness of R2-D2?
I have a whole theory about this.
Love it. Do we need red circles on the YouTube? Like, are we going to have confirms? And I'm trying to bring back the red circles. I've got to do some YouTube things. I've got to practice what a red circles on everyone now. I'm going to have, is this going to be like arrow. Maggie talking now confirmed.
I love that so much. But my theory is that what if R2-D2 is the one who saved him from the massacre? If he was smaller back then, is it possible that R2-D2 was like popping open a side and be like, hop in, kid. Anakin's about to slaughter everybody, and just like hit him inside of him.
Wow. What wow. about like dragging him in a sack like he dragged the C-3PO in Empire?
Yes.
In a like, sack. Normally, I don't like all that like Anakin built C-3PO and stuff. But the idea of it is just so cute.
They're so adorable. Mm-hmm. And they were so excited to see each other.
All right. I have to, like, watch Revenge of the Sith now and try to work out if it's possible that R2 did a little mission. Listen. It's a new day. I've got to let these beasts go. I am even happy, right, that one of my most loathed things – I'll let him do it. R2 can jetpack him away. That's how behind this idea I am, Maggie. So I appreciate that. Now, Maggie, you're going to tap out. So and so does Tom. So it's just going to be we're going to have four screens to wrap it up. But I do want to get your sweet, sweet plugs. Where will you be appearing amongst birds in the upcoming weeks? And also a score out of 10. Maggie, you lead the way.
So you can find me on YouTube at Let's Talk About Star Wars. You can find me on Twitter at Maggie of the Town. I'm also on the Star Wars Friends podcast. And in January, the Geeky Waffle and I are going to be doing a Geeky Waffle After Dark, where we will be talking about saucy Star Wars or syrupy Star Wars. I'm going to give this a solid 10.
A solid 10. All right. That means I'll color it in a little bit. I'll make it a bold font. And Tom, you got to bail as well. Give us the sweet plugs. And
I don't know if I'd be lucky enough to be podcasting with birds anytime soon, but usually you can find me on Twitter at Tom Chansky or weekly on the Sith List. And then I also do Patreon shows for Steel Wars, Blue Harvest, and the Bad Motivators.
And out of 10, out of 10.
10.
Oh! Right.
I will assure you I had a really witty retort, but I'm going to let you finish your plugs.
Oh, that's it. I meant that as a compliment, Sal.
All right, guys. Well, thank you guys for joining us. I really appreciate it and doing the show throughout the season. So good night. Enjoy your East Coast time, and I'll see you guys on the internet.
Yes.
See you around.
Thank you again.
Nice talking to everyone.
And it was really nice to get to know Maggie on the live stream. Tom, I know him. He's whatevs. Reads a lot of books. Doesn't shut up about it. You know what I'm saying? Let's get this up there. I don't even know how I'm meant to react to this.
I think you're just meant to love it. I think you're just meant to love it.
Yeah, that's fair, because that's what I did.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. It's a little short for a stormtrooper, otherwise. Oh my gosh. Steel, I actually loved the little when you were watching this episode and you posted your reaction video, your little no when Luke was saying, come little one, and Grogu was going to leave Din for Luke. Like, you actually had a moment of like, I don't want you to go with him. Like, it was a very, like, it was sweet. And it was like very genuine.
Well, that's the thing with this show. It, like, Harry was just born like at the perfect moment. You know, like, I would put Harry to sleep on a Friday morning and then I'd watch the new episode of this. And the line that got me at the end of the first season was when Greef Karga, someone says, like, you know, look after Baby Yoda. And Greef Karga goes, you might just find out he's going to look after you, or however he phrases it.
Mm.
And, you know, I have to look after my little boy, keep him alive, but his spirit looks after me and makes me happy. And it just, like, that line just, like, connected, like, hit. So whenever, like, Din is, like, his time with Grogu is threatened, I have too many, like, it's just the real world thing. Like, I'm just like, ah, no, I couldn't even, like, imagine that. So yeah. when this guy pulls faces like that,
look, the important thing is, Steele, that in this final episode, because I know that you love, live and breathe Star Wars, as well we all should, but you have got the perfect emotional example of what it's going to be like letting Harry go off to his first day of school.
No, dude, like, I we're all on our Fathier journey. My daughter just went to college.
Oh, damn.
On the other side of the country.
Nice.
So, like, the way that this is hitting me, like, she's also not here for Christmas. Like, you know, COVID's a thing. I don't know if you guys know anything, but, like,
What is it?
There's a lot happening right now, so she can't come home for holidays. Like, hey, she can't even see my daughter.
Don't steal my character, all right? Don't steal my character.
Sorry.
There's just, like, you know what I mean? Like, so this, like, hey, I have to go. He has to learn how to control his powers. He needs to learn and then come back. Like, there's a lot of...
spot on from Jordan.
You know, there's a lot of Fathier feelings here, which I felt at 12:27. Thursday night.
Yeah, and I had the opposite.
Friday morning.
Yeah, I had the opposite end of it because I lost my father last year and I was home for the funeral when the first episode of The Mandalorian aired. Like, it was literally like the day of like one of the showings. I was like, well, I'm just going to watch this Star Wars thing to like get my mind off of it. And that's when I first met Grogu. And to have this story of this child and this father figure play out over the course of like my grief is like, it really like was important to me over the last year or so. And then I'm in the same situation where I couldn't go home this year for Christmas because of the safety issues. And so like to have like family that I can't see, and like, it's only my second year without my dad at Christmas time. And so, yeah, this whole, from Grogu's point of view of like being separated from, you know, and we talk about, you know, when Ahsoka is talking about Grogu's escape from the Jedi Temple, and then things get dark for a while, and we don't really know what happened to him there, but we know that this character has been through a lot of trauma, and this time with Din has been the most stable, despite all the stuff that's happened on the show over the last two seasons, this has still been the most stable and safe thing he's had in such a long time. And so to lose that, like, I get it from that point of view. Yeah.
Yeah. Spot on, Riley. And look, huge love for you. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
That would have been super tough. I completely feel for you.
Yeah, so I'm extra grateful. Like, I remember when we were on the Thanksgiving Day thanks to Star Wars thing, I almost talked about that, but it was such a joyful thing that I'm like, I don't want to be like, here's my really sad loss and grief thing. But I think in this particular case, it's extremely thank you, chat. Thank you very much. Mm. But yeah, I think like that's, I think what made Grogu's reveal last year such a moment was like, wow, even on like one of my darkest days, Star Wars found me and gave me this surprise of pure joy. And I think that's what this week watching Luke appear brought to me again, is like, I don't care how many years I've been watching Star Wars. I don't care how much I love Star Wars. The fact that Star Wars can still surprise me and give me these moments of just pure like adulation and just euphoria is what will always bring me back to it, no matter what else is happening, you know?
And it's like, it's kind of like, I don't even like these little, these moments and these reveals that we sort of like get Like, I don't like personally, I know the people out there, like, they like spoilers and they want to, like, find out what's happening in the production. I wish a little bit less of that had happened, or at least for me, I would just wish it wasn't so out there that, like, I can just scroll and see such and such is rumored. Like, I wish that stuff was, like, hidden behind a link or something that I had to click, because I think, like the Ahsoka thing, I think I would have been a little more about it if it hadn't been for all the stuff that had been going on before. And Bo-Katan, probably the same. And, I mean, I felt it for Boba Fett, and I felt it for Luke, because I hadn't read any of those rumors. Not that I had read any of them, but just seeing the talk about it, and how everybody was talking about what was supposedly happening, I guess mainly with Ahsoka. But I think, like, those having those moments where you sit here and you live in the moment, like, still watching the green ignite, like, us there, and that, like, how we met Grogu, like, I think, like, that kind of stuff takes away from it, and I wish it didn't happen as much, or I wish it wasn't somewhere where I could see as much, because I know it affects my personal enjoyment of the thing, and I think it could, like, if I had heard of something about this, and, like, that's another reason I watch it at 12 o'clock at night, because when I wake up in the morning, I hope nobody messes me up by saying something on Twitter, or, you know, I'm so afraid to go online until I watch something.
See, I come from the angle of the spoilers where, like, I agree with you with the Ahsoka thing and, like, the reveal. I may avoid the Bo-Katan revelation, so that was able to not be spoiled for me. But Ahsoka means a lot more to me than Bo-Katan. I don't know if you've picked up on that. I'm a bit of a fan of Ahsoka, Tom. But I don't like the casting reveal type spoilers or, like, the news. And I work for a site that, like, covers news media, and we tend to try to
avoid. You're part of the problem.
We are way better at vetting stuff, but at the same time, if it's people on Twitter just being excited and purely in love with something, or just like screaming their joy, that does not take away from my enjoyment of stuff at all. Like, the only spoilers that I actually get mad at when it comes to civilian spoilers are people who are actively doing it to be jerks. Like, if you're doing it to ruin somebody else's fun with it, I'm mad at you. But if you are just like, oh my God, I can't believe this just happened, I'm screaming it out into the heavens because I'm just so overflowing with joy, that only adds to my joy.
Yeah, and I was stoked. I'm sure it's similar for you guys. I was really happy to see in my social feeds people just over the moon expressing their joy and surprise, but not spoiling anything, just allowing people to discover it. The only thing that I saw people going nuts on was make sure you watch after the credits. Make sure you watch.
Yeah.
Just so that people were sure that no one said what it was.
Yeah.
And that, amazing.
I was really bummed that I was really bummed that the Book of Boba Fett was literally a trending topic on Twitter the next day. But I also feel like if you hadn't watched it yet and you saw that trending and you were like, oh, Book of Boba Fett, that's the thing everyone's freaking out about. And then you got to watch it. The loop reveal might have been even extra exciting for you because that might have been a big thing. Ah. So it's hard to tell. But
it's a good barometer for your followers, at least for me. Like, you see stuff and, like, nobody saying nothing, and then you see other people being like, oh, I got spoiled on this and that. Unfollow. Oh, that's just me. Okay.
If I saw the Book of Boba Fett trending, I'd just be like, oh, a book about Boba Fett, who cares? Like, that. I don't think I'd even get it. It's odd
if you were seeing that the morning after the finale of Mandalorian launch, like, I think that if you saw it, like, randomly, like in 3 weeks from now, yes, you would think that. But if you saw it as the trending topic the day of the finale of the show was running, I think you might think there's more to it.
I think in my head I'd go that someone just, like, it's about that. I wouldn't put it together. It's like there's a show called that. But that, you know, it's not what happened. But I do have to say Matthew Moll has got some 4 more likes for 100. Algorithm. Guys, there's been like 200 to 300 people watching the whole time. How about the algorithm, guys? Like, you did. I do have to say thanks. That reaction video, last time I looked, was like 60,000, which is just out of control to have 60,000 people know that you are mentally maladjusted. And it's like a really spreading the good word. But as far as like spoilers and stuff, I got unfollowed unfollowed yesterday for having a spoiler. And they said, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's like, oh, it's a pretty overt spoiler. Your thumbnail. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Were they meaning your profile pic?
No. It's because the intro of the show is the thumbnail. And in the intro of the show, this.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So they're like, oh, it's a pretty hefty spoiler. And I'm like, yeah, but I've also spoiled it like 200 other times.
Look, if I suddenly changed this after 2 years of using it, that would be suspect.
So they're gone.
Amazing. I thought, and look, you guys probably all saw it, Mark Hamill's play on Twitter was note perfect. So the day that the episode dropped, or like it must have been the morning after, he's like, or later in the day. So, anyone seen anything good on TV?
Yeah, yeah,
glorious, glorious.
That's a thing. Like with people, like I think you should be cool and not post photos or there's a Boba Fett series or whatever. But I just don't think. On the other end of it, who is this made-up Star Wars fan that hasn't seen The Mandalorian yet but is going on Twitter and like, inspecting thumbnails of videos and, like, it's like...
Yeah.
Like, Derek, if that's his name, you're a moron. Derek! Like, stay, like, it's like this thing of like, yeah, I don't think you should post overt spoilers.
Mm.
But Derek, show some self-restraint yourself.
Yeah.
Just lay off.
I think some people like scolding people for spoilers more than they actually like avoiding spoilers.
Yeah.
There's an element, and we've had a pretty joyful conversation, so I don't want to get too negative. So I will say after this, there is some degree of no spoilers where it stops being about spoilers and starts being about controlling other people. And that's what frustrates me about it.
Derek.
Yeah. It's about
Derek.
Don't be Derek.
Derek.
Yeah. Sometimes you're right, Riley. Sometimes it's just like, I'm right. You were wrong, and I'm pointing it out. And here we go. Here we go.
Exactly.
So,
is Derek the male Karen? Have we just discovered that Derek is the
like before we move to the Boba Fett thing.
Mm.
That was. It was just such an amazing experience. But I also urge people, and like, you know, I was straight on Twitter. There is a God. His name is Favreau. I was so happy that he brought me this. The whole team from Bobby and Kath down to the best boy.
Peyton Reed's direction, please.
Wow, that was the thing. The day before, like the day of, it was revealed. And I said, again, I'm joking. I'm making jokes. I said, well, he does have a lot of experience in the de-aging effects. So maybe it's a joke.
Yeah.
World, reality.
Everything's a joke until it becomes a spoiler. Yeah. It's all fun and games.
Wow, yeah. that Toro series, it's going to happen, I think. I've got some magic powers going on here. But also, like, there's such a positive, reaction to it, but some of the positivity is laced with negativity about, you know, The Last Jedi and oh, they finally did Luke Skywalker. And it's like for one thing, if you, before you're going to invent this, like, WWF style pro wrestling backstage, like Lucasfilm show in your head, you know, Rian Johnson brought Dave Filoni on set and, you know, Filoni's talked about how much he taught him and how much he was just like, yeah, learn this, do all this. Mm-hmm. But like the experience was immaculate. It was amazing. I wouldn't trade it for several other things on this planet. But, you know, if you've got something good,
you came to hear about it.
Anyway, yeah, maybe. But, like, they built it up good and stuff, but it wasn't like the sorry, I just blocked someone in the chat.
Good call.
I wasn't like, it wasn't hard. Like, all you had to do was put in this character that's already built up for 40 years and have him save it. Like, it wasn't like someone else made the whiskey that you just poured the amazing drink out of. Do you know what I mean? And then once you've poured it, it's got like, so like the experience was great, but it wasn't like they were pouring someone else's whiskey. Does that make sense?
I feel like
it was like I loved it. It's my favorite episode of television of anything ever. But like, I don't like, it's like, let's give all the creative control to, and it's like, but they've already done the after that, it's hard work now. Like, once you've had Luke Skywalker walk out and save the day, like, now you've got to do hard. You can't do that every season. Like, you can't just have, like, do you know what I mean? There's no other characters like that. Like, this is your golden goose. You busted him out. And, you know, as I say, love it all, but the whole, like, you know, it's someone else invented electricity and the light switch. They sort of flicked it on at the right time. Do you know what I mean? Am I making like?
I mean, it's like a double edge of this universe, right? Like, you're working in the Star Wars universe, you get to play with all the toys that are there, and thank you, and like, you know, like, yes, you have access to these like amazing things, but you can't you can't use them incorrectly. And like, in theory, that would be some of the people's complaints with how they didn't enjoy some of the other things that other people have given them.
Yeah.
You know, right? Like, they feel that those toys were used incorrectly or what have you. So I feel like, as long as the person who's in control of the box is showing the proper amount of respect and is in that way, like, those things usually don't, I feel that we haven't had any like contradictions or anything like that takes away from that power. And as long as everybody treats that, it's like the world between worlds. Like, you treat it with respect and you use it when it's time to tell the right story. You don't just drop Luke Skywalker into the finale of every season to save everybody from the battle droids that punch a lot. And I like it.
And the thing with Star Wars is that they're clearly building on it now, and maybe like they've seen the mistakes they made with how they tried to like do stuff with Solo and with Rogue One, which are, you know, I have actually enjoyed all the Disney Star Wars movies, so I'll be like super excited and thrilled to talk about any of them. But I think that the rolling out of them, the timing and stuff like that, and we're seeing now with this new era, this more Marvel phasey sort of era of rolling out all these different shows that have different things going on in these new films, we're going to have a point with Star Wars where you can no longer rely on on familiar faces from other franchise, other eras. And, you know, when you get to the Acolyte, you're not going to be able to pull out anybody but maybe a younger Yoda. You know, when you get to Rogue Squadron, which is set in the future, you no longer have Han, Luke, or Leia to pull from. So you better hope that you can pull from the sequel trilogy characters if those actors come back, or you have to do something entirely new with them. We don't know what Taika's doing yet, but we know it's going to be probably a different era. Maybe. Who knows? But they're all going to hop in the Force if you want to come. But whatever's going to happen, like, Disney is getting to a point with their Star Wars where they're not going to have the familiar things to draw back on. So, like, if there was a time to drop the nuclear bomb of fan love to bring everyone to the table, this was it. And this was the time to do it. And it was how they did it and how they pulled it off that made it so effective. And, like, we talked about Peyton Reed a little bit earlier. We haven't talked about at all yet the hallway scene of Luke appearing in the same style shot as Vader, his saber's facing the other way, and then it's the exact amount of frames that Vader had in the hallway of Rogue One. Like,
really?
Yeah, and that is drawing from Rogue One. So that is tying Rogue One to the original trilogy with Luke. You've got Vader, you're bringing father and son together. Like, this is a perfectly handled marriage of this era and this ownership of this property with the iconography and the things people love. And this was the time to do it, and it was handled so perfectly well and well done.
Wow.
I lost my thread towards the end there, but I my point still stands.
I'm with you, Riley. I thought it was amazing, and I think that all of this coming together was right. I mean, they could have just, like, drop everything all at once. Here's everybody. What's the point of that, right? Like, this great little sprinkle, and that we now know / have Luke Skywalker connected to the Mandalorian portion of the universe means that we all are going to long to see Grogu again, right? So we would expect we'll certainly hear about Luke. We'll know there's some stuff going on somewhere with some kind of Jedi training and stuff. It's not going to focus on that though. And there's a universe full of characters that we are yet to meet that will help develop and grow. And it's going to be, I mean, what a time to be a Star Wars fan, honestly.
Yeah.
What a time.
I do hope we see Luke again. Maybe I this is my total fangirl wishing thing. I want Luke and Ahsoka in something together at some point, because these are basically both Vader's children in a way. And I want to know what – they're also the only two people until whatever happens with the Kenobi series. They're the only two people that got Vader to drop his facade in any way and be Anakin for even for a second for Ahsoka and then to the end for Luke. So I hope that these two characters ever get to interact. And I know it's tough, like, unless we go with an older, I don't know if older Luke meets an older Ahsoka or how, but I want that to connect in some way. That's my fangirl. That's my igniting the green. I want ignite the white with the green at some point. Like, come on, give me those together. But yeah.
Fabs wrote all 8 eps of this second season too, didn't he?
No, he wrote all but Filoni wrote his, and preferred Rick wrote his.
Yes, gosh. Yeah. Could you imagine
I'm
that?
Sure that writer still, I'm sure they.
Oh, yeah.
Showrunner and writer. I'm sure showrunners often dip in and drop stuff in with episodes they didn't have a written by credit on. So I would not be shocked if Favreau and Filoni worked together on a lot of the episodes. But
the writing room must have been going all out of their mind pulling that stuff together, right? Like, so good.
And like, the other thing is that, like, it's the same thing that Steele always says, is like, if you do it right, you know, like, you find all these, you have this time and you're like, well, who's around? Like I know when Grogu picked up the phone at Tython, all of us had our short list and was like, well, Luke's out there. I know Ezra and Voss were on my list. I don't know about you. But, you know, like, we all had our short list of, like, who it was and what you think can happen during this time. Maybe Boba's out there. Maybe this. Maybe that. And the way that they drop these things into the story, where it's not just like, hey, look, it's Luke Skywalker, even though it was kind of, hey, look, it's Luke. No, Luke Skywalker has a job to do. Like, they dropped the Night Owls in Bo-Katan because Bo-Katan showed Din that there are other ways of being like Mandalorian. Like, that broadened his understanding of what a Mandalorian is. You know, they dropped Ahsoka in, because Ahsoka shows him of what this mysticism is and is able to tell him what Grogu's been through. Like, it all adds to the story in the same way that Ahsoka added a lot to Ezra's story in Rebels.
Yeah.
So much so that her finale that everybody was waiting for her to fight Vader, you don't see it because you're watching it through Ezra's eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the story that she's there to tell is the story to Ezra. You know, it's like, so these characters that bring in, and we all get our moments with, and we get Luke Skywalker coming here, but what is he there to do? He's there to teach the child to use his powers, because he won't be safe until he controls his ability. We don't know what that means yet.
Yeah, that is that is awesome. I love all that. That's so great.
There's some shots getting fired in the chat, Sal.
What?
Everyone has a Star Wars background except the death metal guy on the bottom left.
Look, I'm gonna guess Jeff doesn't know what this is then.
That's do you know what that is? That's what that is shots fired.
Right. Sal pulled out a lightsaber earlier. We're all friends.
Yeah, here. We're on board.
Yeah. Sal could actually fight you with a lightsaber. Of anyone on this video, Sal's the one who could probably still kill you with a lightsaber, even with the plastic tip on it. So.
Well, yeah. In Jeff's defense, he says that. Oh wait, I just lost the thing. He said he's never joined the stream before. It's like Sal's the only person in the chat, in here, anywhere that's. He's been on stage at Star Wars Celebration.
I have been on stage at Star Wars Celebration.
You can steal.
I felt like I was lying. That was the question.
I had to think about it for a minute.
I'm never calling you for an alibi, that's for sure.
Okay, no, look, Steel, to be fair, when they were like, when they asked us, That's good.
For those listening to the podcast, Matthew Mole says Sal has no disposable income for posters, spent it all on owls. That's what the chat's for. That's good use of the license of the chat. So
when they asked us to do the Celebration Rebels panel, my first question was like, are we going to be able to see the panel? Like, is there a video screen back screen? Because I still want to watch it, and I know we're going to be backstage. Like, I don't want to miss anything. And they were like, no, there's a TV back there. And I was like, cool, we'll do it.
What a negotiation.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, because you guys are going to show a trailer, right? I really want to see a trailer.
Of course there's a trailer. Rebels trailer. Look at this. Just look at this. Look at this.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I was so ecstatic.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I like that they put the in order of appearance at the earlier, just like so people weren't going like, where's Ham? Why is Hamill so late in the credits? Like,
well, that's like when I was fast forwarding through, I was like, it said in order of appearance. And I was like, oh yeah. Bit of fast forward. Because like at like 1 a.m. in the morning, every second counts. Yeah. So, just seeing Mark Mark Hamill surrounded by it's like when every time you see the words Mark Hamill surrounded by a lot of black, it's good times.
It's good times.
Yeah.
He ain't lying.
I do feel like the exact moment too where you can't say that Mandalorian is not like the flagship of Star Wars right now. Like bringing Luke into it. Tying it off, like this is Star Wars' flagship until another movie comes out. At least, like I think it's just that's just the fact about it at this point.
Stunning. And then it was so funny because I did the doing the reaction video, and the thing about the reaction video is, once the episode finishes, you start reacting.
Mm.
So I'm not watching to the end of the credits. And I know Lucasfilm, there were like Lucasfilm associated people that had been talking about credits for the last couple of weeks, like vague, like they were just talking about credits, like, oh yeah, credits, people in product, you know, they love credits. But now looking back, I'm like, But to everyone's credit that didn't watch the credits, they don't really like normally at the end of The Mandalorian, I'm desperately trying to stop it. So, because the credits go tiny and Disney Gallery episode one starts to play. So,
That's the tell.
Yeah.
But
you get a list of like everyone who translated it into every other language.
Yes!
Like, the Disney Plus credits just go on. You're like, all right, well, let's go. Like, yeah.
So bless you guys, but I don't need to know who translated it into Taiwanese.
Yeah.
Oh, that's. I'll have to edit that off the podcast. Yeah.
I mean, they do a great job.
Steals Taiwanese algorithm. I hope you know that. I hope you just know this thing.
I'm good with it. I just can't read it. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
So just a phenomenal. And I know we're going to talk about the end credits scene, everyone in the chat. Just like, I've never, it was just stunning. It was just stunning. I'm forever grateful. This is the thing, like these Luke Skywalker fans hanging on to this grudge for 3 years.
No.
It's like, did you just watch the lightsaber? Did you not learn any of the lessons?
Mm-hmm.
Like about anger. Like he threw the saber away. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's just it is just shocking.
I just feel like everyone misses an arc in that movie, and that the movie's point is not that Luke should have run off to the island and been a hermit, and that's what he should have done. Like, the movie makes the point that he has to come back and make a stand and, like, be the... And, like, everyone seems to forget that. I don't know how anybody can watch that crate scene and not think it is Star Wars at its best. Everything that happens on that, the imagery with the red on the white, the moment of Leia losing hope and Luke appearing right then, the fact that Luke looks like the version of him that Kylo would remember and have respect for and be afraid of, Luke pushing the salt off of his shoulder, like just like that, just the defiant push of it, and the seer. The only thing that I would have done to fix that entire scene would have been make the saber green. That's the only thing that I would have done differently. But like, otherwise, it is shot for shot. It is one of the most brilliant sequences that has ever happened in a Star Wars film. And I don't understand how people don't see that. And like, yeah, it's not out of character for Luke. Like Luke learned from Obi-Wan, who did the exact same thing. And Luke, faced with his own mistake, was like, I think I'm going to make it worse if I keep trying to do stuff, so I'm going to leave, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he's not like Ahsoka, who has no choice but to stick around and stay, and she just does it. Like, that's what's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when people talk about in Rise, when they're like, see, Luke's making fun of what happened in Last Jedi when he grabs the lightsaber and says, don't throw it away. It's like, no, he's reacting to the journey he went on. He's on the other side of his journey now. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's saying this stuff. He's making fun of himself for throwing it away.
Says it. He says it. He says, I was wrong.
Yeah.
He says it out loud in the movie. That's a line.
Yeah. You got to give a character an arc. And Ryan gave him such a great arc. And it's brilliance, and it is it's the Ronin samurai thing at the end, and it's just, it's so brilliantly done, it's so well shot, it's so well acted, I don't know how anybody can look at that and not get what's happening with it, unless they just don't want to, but.
and the thing is like, you've got it now.
Yep.
Like, doesn't that, like, you, like I did an interview with the director saying, this is all I want is Ignite the Green. And he had to feign not selling to me that it wasn't. The look on his face was, in retrospect, amazing. Yeah. But, like, I love the journey I went. Like, I absolutely adored, like, how he was left as an inspiration to the galaxy. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the coolest, coolest, coolest thing. But I just don't get now that people got what they want, and you know, I was, you know, and they had the same experiences as us, and but they're still bitter about like 3 years ago. It's just bizarre. And this is the other thing, and we watch these from different angles, we want different things, but people go, you know, they got the character right this time, and it's like, what's the character? Like, he, like, it's all, as I was like the metaphor, other person's whiskey. It's mm-hmm. he came in. It's awesome that he came in because we know him from the other movies. And then he did stuff like he did in the other movies.
Yeah.
Then he just said, hey, little one, just give him permission. We can go. And, yeah. You know, and it was so amazing because of from the other movies. And then he got like, there's no character. There's nothing. It's just like, it was like, hey, I loved it, but it was just comic book Luke Skywalker in live action. And it was, and I preface this with saying it was, you know, there's a video. It was one of the most amazing experiences of my life. It's concerning at how important it was to me. Very concerning. But it was just like, it wasn't, it was just serving 12-year-old me. And he was very, very happy with it. Look, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't like defining or such an amazing amount of little newness to it. It was just like sandbox, like, oh, and then he'd come in, and it was awesome, but it wasn't like anything to do with the character at all.
And it's also, this is 5 years after Return of the Jedi. This is not after what happens with Ben, what happens with the rise of the First Order. Mm-hmm. And Luke in Last Jedi is someone who has seen all the hope that he had for the universe that he thought he had saved crumble and turn to dust, largely because of his own failure as a teacher in his mind. Like that is a very different person than the person who is still kind of coasting on the success that you have had and is actually working to rebuild the Jedi thing. So that's why, yes, the Luke in this episode is more like Return of a Jedi because it is still the same Luke. That doesn't mean that the version of Last Jedi is also not Luke. And I think 100% Android, like you can 100% not like Luke's journey. And I think there is, it's so tough when we talk about Star Wars, because there is such a difference between people who genuinely just don't like something for an objective reason and people who are just like using it as their vehicle to be angry. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard because you almost can't talk about the people who are toxic and angry about the people who have legitimate criticism. Like, well, that's not what I meant by it. And it's like, okay, but that's not the same thing that I'm talking about right now. And I'm trying to focus on. It's so tough.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
This episode has been very. We've had a lot of arcs this episode.
Hey, it's what it should have.
I'm good with it.
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Did anything else happen in the episode?
Well, there may is not a well off because I just had an out of body experience. I was. If you haven't watched it, you have to go watch this. Like, I don't want to like say like you have to watch this video of me, but it is. It's lunacy. It's sheer lunacy what this silly movie has means to people. Mm-hmm. So I go on Twitter. I do my little Favreau is God thing. And I do also have to, like with like Twitter hyperbole, like Kevin Smith said, you know, Favreau's got giant balls for putting Luke Skywalker in, and people are like, it's the most obvious thing ever. It's not giant balls. Yeah. It's like, just let Kevin Smith be Kevin Smith. Yeah. Like, you don't have to analyze. Like, it's not a contract he's writing. It's just like, he gushes about everything. It's just like, whatevers.
Yeah. And honestly, ask Rian Johnson if it's the easiest thing ever to put Luke in something, because obviously he did it in a way that people are furious at him years later. So it's not the easiest thing ever to do.
Then I see on Twitter, after I'm enjoying the sweet buzz of a couple of likes and retweets. Oh, yeah. And as well as my Twitter feed. My Twitter feed's been a mess. It's going to take – I can't even go back to it till after New Year's, I feel like. It's just it's out of control. But then I see after credit scene.
Those twin sons, baby. Green.
Yeah.
Which – a sick part of me, because I just I kind of like it when people like I get amused by it when people let things in Star Wars annoy them in a like such a way. I was just like, back to Tatooine. Ah, yeah. The place that everyone complains about. And you know what this could lead to? This back to Tatooine business. Look, let's get it up. Let's get it up there. Ah, yeah.
Calican, watch.
Toro could get back in there without a problem.
He can get a robo tummy too. Dr. Mandible's giving him out.
Could you imagine, right? So they have this Luke Skywalker episode, and then they go into Jabba's palace and they shoot everyone. And even if he gets shot, but imagine if Toro was in there. Could you imagine like what would I just like,
oh my gosh.
But they went the other way by featuring my most hated Star Wars character of all time. And that is Bib Fortuna.
Yeah.
That was... De Wanawanga.
God, that was Sal. I felt like I was playing Sal. It was
really good. Yeah. I was like, wait, Steel, are you playing the clip? You're going to get in trouble from this.
Hey, I'm
right. Also love,
I just love like all of his...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, all of his things. No chat. It's so good.
It's just so fun to watch the show with the subtitles on because I like that they actually make the point of crediting the person speaking. So, like, you actually see, like, Bib Fortuna and, like, saying it. It's like,
such I'll have to watch it with that.
Yeah. And actually, the subtitles spoiled Bo-Katan before, if you didn't know who she was already, when she's talking, it says Bo-Katan, like, it has her name speaking. And then also in the Jedi, there's the episode, as soon as they reveal the child's name is Grogu, suddenly all the subtitles say Grogu from then on instead of saying the child, which I thought was weird. But yet, the Mandalorian still says the Mandalorian and not Din. Like they don't keep calling him Din after the end of season one. They still just call him the Mandalorian.
Well, they'd have to change the whole show name then. Yeah. I think it's just on brand. But a cool little thing that I didn't notice because I was too, like, it was all too much for me, this whole thing. But he's got his Kenna staff.
Yes.
Yep. That was the first thing I saw.
And a couple of extra Tatooine kilos without being sort of someone to cast that stone. But, you know, game recognized game.
Now, this super chat. Hey, Jeff. Bottom right guy. Buy a cheap pork butt tea.
And I think he meant pork butt.
Oh, okay.
Kind of meat, yeah.
Oh, now I'm hungry. Okay.
I've gotten into smoking and Jeff's done some deep diving.
I'm not above a Jabba's Palace / Bomar Monk barbecue.
Some pulled beef.
All about it.
Oh, Malk, are you one of those people that post like photos of like the barbecue that you're doing?
I'm very proud of my meat still.
Oh, no. This is not an attack. This is friendly fire. Do you know what I mean? I'm not doing this. I'm not. I don't like food photos, but when anyone posts like a barbecue, like I've been cooking this for 18 days, I'm like, good stuff. That's some good stuff. So it inspires me. Tom, who's asleep now. He's probably dreaming about. He does some really good barbecue, and the rocking donkey is in the super chat. Ribs for tuna. That's not too shabby, but the Kenner staff. I just thought was just such a cool little from the old toy. That's just such a sweet bit of action, and then. The Leia tribute down the stairs.
Yeah.
Just
the entrance.
So sick. And
the shooting of the chain, I thought was a little bit late as well. So
that was cool. That was so cool.
With the head nod.
Yeah. Love that.
Oh my god, that girl's there from Special Edition. Wait there. I'll pause it.
I can't remember her name. The one who Boba's like.
Yeah, rubbing the chin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's his old girlfriend. Rizal?
Oh, pink hair.
Yeah, pink hair at the back.
She's the same species as Latsrazi. I can't remember what it's called now.
Gosh. Deep. Sal's going deep on us.
Not deep enough, apparently. Can't remember the species. Thalathian. No, that can't be right.
Jeff, I appreciate the super chats, but you're making me so hungry.
I know. Me too. I didn't eat dinner because we were starting the show, and now I'm like sitting here like, I have food that I want to eat, so please stop making me think about food.
Catherine Neen's not making it any better. When I get to Bunnings, I'll post a photo of the sausage sizzle for you, Steele. That won't mean anything to Riley and Sal, but to me and Malk, it is...
everything.
It's very special. Very special. Now, I wish I could have watched this almost away from the Luke Skywalker thing, because I haven't even really, like, there's Jabba's palace.
Mm-hmm.
It's back.
Yep.
Insane. So, but what I'm wondering with this Book of Boba Fett, are they going to be doing some of the scenes with a bit of a de-aged Jabba's palace, and we'll go back to Boba's time in there? That would be pretty nice to see some of his time.
Some flashbacks.
Yeah. Got the set.
And some of the cast, clearly.
Hey, Riley just disappeared.
Maybe Riley had to go and eat dinner.
What time?
I don't blame him. It's been quite a show. And then you have got... I did like Bib dropping his language to go Boba and talk to him.
Mm.
That was pretty sick.
How good does the cleaned up Boba armor look?
I love it.
Big fan.
I like weathered, but I respect Boba's decision.
Yeah, guys, got some issues he needed to work through, you know. Spend some time
if
in the
Boba wants of clean armor. I guess he can have clean armor.
Yeah. It's a whole new Boba, baby.
Look at this. This is why I love Boba Fett. Killing it.
Punishes
him. Grab that screen cap.
Oof. What a shot.
Mm-hmm.
That is some good action. So, Sal, where do you reckon this is leading, this Book of Boba Fett?
I mean, it already tells us, Book of Boba Fett. I think it's Boba and Fennec building their empire. I don't even know. Like, he's back, ? And he wants to rule things over from his little former Jabba Palace on Tatooine. I will say that I spoiled myself for this. Because when the, like, hey, you like this? You should check out Clone Wars didn't come up. I was reading through the entire credits. And at one point, I was like, Bib Fortuna? Huh.
Oh,
I was
really?
I was like, I saw Bib Fortuna in the credits before the scene.
Nice.
And then I was trying to think. I was like, huh, was he in the bar where they were having that, like, Mando standoff? Like, maybe he was in the background somewhere. Like, but normally they don't credit just people sitting down. And then this came up, and I was like, oh, that makes sense. But I was already kind of suspicious since it didn't say, hey, you like this, go watch the Clone Wars. Hey, you like this, go watch the Clone Wars. Like it usually does. So I was like, okay, I'm going to just sit and work it through because something's up.
I did panic for a minute when both Fennec and Boba walked onto the grid above the Rancor. The Rancor pit. Oh, this is going to get nasty. But Boba would know, right?
You got to remember your timeline.
Fennec wouldn't.
But... Yeah,
Would warn her. That'd be part of the plan.
After Jabba died, they wouldn't have the ability to go get another Rancor. No way. Yeah. But David Lozano brings up a great point. Cobb Vanth, back in the game.
Well, you'd hope.
You'd have to be. They're on Tatooine.
Yeah, man. You're on Tatooine. I don't know if they're going to stay there.
And we don't know where Boba and Fennec fall in the grand scheme of... Who, like, are they bad? Like, traditional? Are they traditional bad guys or good guys? Or are they kind of in a murky middle ground where we will do whatever we want to do that suits us?
I think it's that because they have.
That's what the scene suggests.
No, but they've fulfilled their, like, they were honorable by, you know, getting Grogu back. Now it's done. Now it's back to self-service. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing, like, a fun, like, anti-hero Boba Fett. That's sort of like, you know, he's like our bad guy, sort of thing. But this shot is just like Fennec's face.
Can I say how heartbreaking too it was to see that the same day that Jeremy Bullock died? Like, it was such a weird, not to be a bummer.
Yeah.
Gosh, now that Boba Fett is tended to being not just the coolest toy that everyone loves. but because I am definitely of that mindset. People excited about Boba Fett before, but this season of the show has turned me around on him so much, and so it makes me a little bit sad that, like, the side of the day, like, his character, like, ascended to a throne literally on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, Riley, you have done a lot of podcasts, you know, around LA with different comedians, and it can get pretty intense. Have you ever been talked over by a bird before?
I have been angrily tweeted at. Does that count the same way?
Nah, probably. I'd choose the bird.
I'm actually choosing to think that I'm choosing to believe that the more I think that I'm Ahsoka because of my hat. That's what I'm assuming to believe is happening when the bird's cheering it. I do love it. Like, I was saying this very emotional, like, tragic, sad thing, and then it's like the bird is going off in the background.
The bird is agreeing with you and wants you to be your best friend.
There we go. It's another ominous face melter.
So ominous.
All right. Let's take a lap. Wrap us up, Malk, and give us your score out of 10.
It is glorious to see what fans of the Star Wars universe can do with the Star Wars universe. It was delightful. Another great bonding moment for me with my son, particularly just watching it, enjoying that, and reconnecting. I mean, he's 16; he's starting to hate me. But just loving doing that. Every Friday was our Mandalorian day. You know, we would do stuff. We'd watch Mandalorian. Amazing. This final episode, look, I know it's in the best Spinal Tap way, it gets 11 out of 10.
All righty. I got to mark that down as a 10 because I'm very...
I'll take it. You're a purist.
I love stats. I do have to say how you're saying, you know, how that was your tradition with your son. I'm not sure if you guys have heard about this COVID thing, but it is going to pick up. Trust me.
COVID, you say?
That's the one.
I don't see it happening. It's just a flu.
It's been, it's been the year. We've all been there.
Yeah.
And to have this 8 weeks of, like, the little, like, even with everyone, like, on YouTube and on Twitter and like, you know, gearing up all week and then, you know, doing, you know, like the Saturday night, like, people, like, sort of lamenting that this is, like, the last review. Like, it's been such a, like, pleasurable distraction, and I'm sort of glad that next week's Christmas, because then I won't miss it. I won't, I won't think about not doing this, because it would be, releasing that on Christmas Day next year, you're killing me. I've got to say.
Boxing Day for us down
at least mate, your so podcast can be the Saturday after Christmas.
True. But I got to do that. Yeah, I'm going to be up all night editing the first. It's,
yeah, fair.
It's, you know, but you do it to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
This is
why. Well, in this case, Dave and John are doing it to you. But yeah, otherwise, it's.
Well, I have to think, because I own, like, a sneaker store in Australia, right? And we had this when Yeezy was with Nike, we released his shoe, and there was, like, this overnight line for it for this lottery thing, and it was just like this guy was like going, why are you making us stay up all night? It's like four of them. Like, I had to stay by the shop to make sure, you know, make sure there's like 200 people and look after it. Why are you doing this to us? And it's like, it's not me. I'm just selling, like, this is how much you want it. Like, you are inflicting this on yourself. So it is I that are inflicting the late nights on myself. So I have to, this is good. No waste here. We have to do a turkey round table. Talk stuffing, gravy, white meat, dark meat. No turkey on my on my table, Christmas day.
I mean, we did talk a lot about In-N-Out last time I was on your show, so it's not that far. And today was all barbecue, so it does happen.
Oh, I'm not above talking about food, but
revisit the In-N-Out conversation.
It's the idea of having turkey taking up valuable table space on my Christmas table. It's it's not going
to
happen.
I would move heaven and earth to get to my mom's turkey this year. So I'm sad that but I understand your feeling about it. But I would, I would fly an X-wing into the launch bay of a Galactic cruiser in order to get some turkey this year. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, I just try to replicate my mom's, like, what she would present. So I feel ya. I feel ya. Riley, let's talk about feelings. Let's talk about how feelings translate into a numerical value of art. One of the most important things is how we rate art through mathematics. So give me your final thoughts, your wrap-up of the episode, and that all-important numerical value.
I mean, last time I was on this show, not the Thanksgiving one, was after the spider episode. And all the talk was like, when are things going to pop off with this show? When are things going to pop? And then the next week was the heiress. And the answer was from now on. So yeah. I think that knowing this moment, like I said, there was a time to drop this emotional atom bomb on the fans and do it in such a well way. This was the time to do it. And I think that especially after the week after the reveal of all these new shows and movies and all is coming in, I think that there was a time to prove that this new era of Star Wars has the goods. This was the time to do it. And I think they did. So I have to give it a 10 out of 10, because I feel like if I walked away from this Star Wars episode going, it's still not what I want out of Star Wars, I don't know what else to say that I want out of Star Wars anymore. So this is 10 out of 10. I am so excited to see what's going to happen with The Acolyte. I'm so excited to see what's going to happen with Justin Simien's Lando project. I'm excited for all these things. But for what this was and where it was and when it was happening, thank you so much, Jordan. I don't know what else to ask for out of this episode. And so I am giving it 10 out of 10 because I don't know what else to say.
Excellent. And you make a good point. Like this episode was, it did have like an immense emotional core with Grogu and Din, and you know what I like always envisaged was like this ET moment where, you know, Grogu had found his people and Din would have to say goodbye. He'd be the Elliot, and it happened far sooner than I expected, and it's another whole podcast, but what is the future of Grogu and Din on this streaming service? But to the point I was trying to make, inspired by what you're saying, it's like, you know, we had the ultimate fan service moment from where I sit anyway. Mm-hmm. And that can only be so fulfilling. But then you look at the Kathleen Kennedy's got the board up with all the logos, and it's like, you know, Leslie Headlin, like, you know, like mystery thriller set in the High Republic with Sith. And then you've got, you know, you've got Ahsoka and you've got Lando, and like there's so many, like,
and that Cassian show looks like it's going to be amazing.
Cassian, sorry.
How do you even know, you know, how?
Full respect to Catherine Neen. Cassian show. Like, there is all these different itches, like different styles of Star Wars, all part of like what I like to refer to as the Star Wars taco.
It says a lot about the Star Wars taco that out of all the things that were launched, the thing that I'm suddenly least excited about is Kenobi fighting Vader again. Like, how have we gotten to the point with the amount of Star Wars content that is the thing that I'm like, we'll see how it better be done well. Like, it's exactly the thing. If they do it right, it could be amazing, but it's the thing that I think has the hardest risk of not being done right. So,
yep.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with how that will play out. I do say, though, I have softened that I was just like, nah, nah, nah. And I hate it when people do the Star Wars, like they're Star Wars lawyers. And they're like, there was this line in the movie and you could make it sound like this.
Yeah.
I normally hate it, but I'm in a good mood. And the Darth Vader thing in Return of the Jedi of like Obi-Wan once thought as you do to Luke.
Yeah. Yep.
If they work that line, if they do it right, then it could be pretty amazing if they do it right.
Yeah. That's but if they give Darth Vader the high ground over Obi-Wan, that'll be my Han not shooting first. That'll be my moment of like, no, you do not take away this meme from us.
Yep. And let's add in Taika to the Taka, right? We don't even know what he's doing yet.
He's some of the safest
hands in Hollywood after Favreau and Filoni.
That's the best one. That's the one I'm most excited about. Yeah. Sal, let's go.
Everybody was complaining I didn't have Star Wars stuff in my background, so here's my daughter's helmet. Yes. Season 3. Steel knows all the seasons. I need to clarify. RF works. What? Yeah.
Not everyone was complaining. It was just one person. However, he did pay money to have it shown on screen. So that's pretty important. Again, from where I sit.
Second shout out to everybody calling me the death metal guy. I'm really happy about that. I've been the Star Wars guy for like a good 5 years. So it's good to be the death metal guy again.
Yeah.
I haven't felt like the death metal guy since like after high school. This show, this episode, really, it was so satisfying. If this was a series finale, I think people would be pretty happy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how else you can bring all those things together and make it satisfying in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the fact that they, we just went off on Luke Skywalker and how dope he was. And we skipped over a lot of like the Night Owls jumped off a bridge and then jetpacked up on the sides and shot stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. Kara hit people with her gun at one point. Like Fennec was crescent kicking blasters out of people's hands and then punching them. And then Koska Reeves was like throwing people to the floor and then shooting them on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's
one
all.
One of the times that choreo- Kara hit one of the troopers with a gun, the gun broke.
There was so much stuff in this, but then not like you take that action, right? Like, I like martial arts and stuff like that speaks to me, but then you take the like heart of the story. Like, there's an emotional weight to like Luke Skywalker showing up to us because we were there when we cared about Luke Skywalker, and like that was our Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But there's also like, if you're not us, if you just watch this Star Wars and nothing else, somebody shows up and there's a moment for you because you watch this journey of Din and Grogu and you got that payoff.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like that moment where he says goodbye to Grogu and Grogu's going away and it's the same foundling shot that we got, you know, when Din was found and at the end of season one, when he's flying away with the jetpack with Grogu right over his shoulder. Like, they gave us that, they gave us their expressions and they sat on those expressions for a while. So like, I just don't think you can beat it. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be a 10.
Yeah.
Whatever happens next, it's going to be great and it's going to be gravy. But if that had never happened, like, this would have been the perfect. If you told me that this was the end, I would have said, like, thank you for these. I mean,
season one ended with him getting the quest of you have to return this foundling to his people. And that is what he has done at the end of this thing. So that could easily be like he has done his quest. And they did it without killing him out.
Yeah. There's plenty more story to tell. We got Din with a Darksaber. We got an upset Bo-Katan. We got Boba Fett on the throne. Like, we got so much left to do. But as far as what the heart of this show is, Din and Grogu, we got that. And it was paid off well. And it was like, I don't know what the press people like to call satisfying. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say 10.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's all I have to say. Anything, Mariah? No? Okay, good.
Listen. It was quite a time. Much like Return of the Jedi, I don't think this is the best episode, quality-wise, but it's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what counts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm locking in a 10, making it the first ever perfect 10 episode. 10 all round. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. I can't mess up the division on this one because you're dividing a bunch of 10s by 10. It is...
still 10.
I feel satisfied with being a Star Wars fan. So that's all you need. And, you know, I sort of would like... You know, if we see Grogu again, like, I don't know. I guess we need a story to explain that he wasn't at the, they're not going to.
That would be nice.
But, you know, just say that was the end. It was a beautiful end to such an unexpectedly, like heartwarming series, like the way we went into it, I remember being at Celebration, sort of going, "Oh yeah, it's going to be about a bounty hunter. That's cool. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. cool." And then, you know, as I said at the top of the episode, we get that reveal that, like, you know, and I said this, you know, in reviewing the first episode, was I liked it. It was in Star Wars, and it was fun, and it looked amazing, but it didn't have that thing. And I like, as I was watching, I was like, "Oh, this is good. This is good." But then at the end of the first episode, when Grogu, Baby Yoda, was revealed, and it was like, "Oh, that's what it needs. The force was missing." And they put it in this total, like, new way. And then, like, just the unexpected journey, like we have to just look, like, the way they kept certain things, like, and I know all the leaks, you know, of like Ahsoka and all that is a bummer, but like they kept those two bangers, which are like in like you know, this year and last year, they're my Star Wars moments, and someone, I should find this in the chat, because I'd like to credit whoever said it, because it did make me laugh. Oh, I'll hit this super chat. Billy Davis, our buddy, up in SF. Thanks for doing this every week, Steel. The season of The Mandalorian has been amazing. Can't wait for more Star Wars. Acolyte is my most anticipated.
Mine too. Even though it's probably the one we know the least about right now, it's the one that I am so excited for it.
I cannot find... Oh, there it is, Blarp. If this was shown in theaters, I would have been kicked out.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought, like, what would have been that like if that was in a cinema, like in normal days, and it would have been packed? Like, would it have just been like 600 people in a room all crying to, like, that would have been like, imagine, you know how they do that, like that green camera of like Final Destination 17, like, imagine the green camera of everyone just like, yeah.
I actually think it would have been impossible for them to keep the Luke secret if it was a movie. I think that, like, that is one of the benefits of this televised version of it. I think for some they're able to keep these secrets a little bit safer than if you have. There's like, because you can do it episode by episode and wait to release the cast and stuff. I think that if this had been a movie thing, it would have been way harder to keep that secret.
Mm.
I hope it stays that way, because now I have a feeling that the way things are going, people are going to start paying more attention to this stuff and digging in these places.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, whereas usually they sit on the movie sets and they just wait, well, such and such is filming a movie. We saw, what is it, like, we saw Hawkeye's daughter's suit. Here's a photo.
Yep.
Now they're going to be looking for, I don't know, who's going to be sneaking into, what do they call it? The the place with all the LED screens. The volume. Oh, the volume. We just snuck into the volume and we got a picture of.
I think
the volume helps keep things more protected.
The volume does, but... and I actually wonder if they leak out the leaks that they let the leaks that they get leaked out because they know they have a bigger thing hidden, and people will think that like they'll think Ahsoka was the biggest thing of the season, and now it's like, oh no, we got something bigger for you. But have fun with your Ahsoka rumor, you know?
Yeah. Good call.
Well, that brings us to the end. Let's I have to say, like, a massive thanks to everyone that has joined us, and it's sort of grown momentum, like either live and afterwards. There's like a lot of people that check it out. So thanks so much. If you're not watching live, leave us a comment. I try to get back to them all. Check out the reaction video, and then there's another reaction with me and Hawes directly after, just trying to work it all out. And we'll be back on Monday at the 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern for a couple of days. Then we'll take a hiatus. But there's a lot of Star Wars. There's Mark Hamill interviews and stuff. So we'll talk all about that. Stephen Malk in Australia. TV Black Box is, if you are in Australia and you want to follow what's happening in TV news, it is very entertaining. Let us know your sweet, sweet plugs.
Yeah, I bet Steve Malk on all the socials that you would care to follow me at. And as you said, the TV Black Box or TV Binge Box podcasts are available in all of the feeding places. And tvblackbox.com.au is where we rant about the state of television in Australia, which is very close to and related, but reasonably different to America Town.
Excellent. Riley, who apparently she is the MVP.
100%. 100%.
And that's saying a lot because David was not agreeing with me about Last Jedi. So that makes me feel really glad that we actually met in the middle somewhere. So thank you.
Let us know where we can track you down.
The best place to find me, especially for Star Wars related stuff, is just at Nerdist.com. I write a lot of stuff for that site, and I've written quite a few Star Wars pieces. I actually, strangely, as always, I don't think I wrote a single piece about this season of The Mandalorian because I think I was experiencing it so much as a fan. But I wrote a lot about Ahsoka's stuff in the end of last season of Clone Wars, so I definitely have all of that in there. But yeah, Nerdist.com. You can find me on Twitter at Riley J. Silverman, and you can find me on Instagram at Riley Silverman. And thank you.
Fab.
I'm so glad to be back for this. This is great.
Sal, where will your owls, be appearing next? Let us know.
You can hear from me, my
Wait. I've got to ruin your little sizzle here. I listen to your podcast every week, The Rogue Rebels, where you and your amazing wife and your family, Lizzie and Axel, break down. Well, you've been doing Mandalorian right now. Yeah. I listen to it every week. Every week I listen to it. It's just audio, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't heard any wildlife in any episode. Like, not a hint, not a bark, not a cheep.
How have you not heard barks, first of all? The dogs keep interrupting that podcast all the time. Maybe I cut some of them out. We record that one in Axel's room. But when I get on with you guys, Grandma complains I'm too loud, and she goes to sleep, and we go till 11 o'clock. So I came downstairs today to record.
All right, it checks out. So,
that's where we are.
But it is it's such a cool podcast to listen to. Tell us all about it, Sal. I apologize, but I am who I am.
My family and I are a Star Wars costuming family, if you couldn't tell. So we talk about all things Star Wars. I read all the books and comics. You can check all of that out at theroguerebels.com. We are on Instagram at theroguerebels. I am on Twitter at Sal I Make Music, because why do my kids need to be on Twitter? That's not a thing. The birds, you can check all of the birds' doings at theroguerebels.com. Sure, just go check it out. Where our podcast is the Rogue Rebels podcast. right now we have a segment, like Axel's a teenager right now. So he's in like, I'm a little too cool to podcast. And like, I don't need to sit in there for 2 hours and talk about Star Wars like you fools. But I have a new segment called Ask Ax. His name's Axel. But there's a character in The Mandalorian called Ax Woves. And I've done my best to convince him. Yes, I am the father of one of the Star Wars geek girls. I've convinced Axel that Ax Woves was named after him. I'm like, just next time we talk to Filoni, it'll be, I'm sure he'll tell you the same thing that I'm telling you right now, is that he named it after you. It's fine. Like, you want to paint up some blue Mando suit or what? Like, what are we doing? But yeah, that's what we do. Obviously, we're not doing a lot of charity events at the moment because
you're selfish now.
So we don't care about charity people. Now. We're not even doing anything. I'm Death Metal guy now. Who cares about Star Wars? But yeah, so check us out at theroguerebels.com. Check out our podcast, The Rogue Rebels. And that's all I got. Hey, good time.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks, everyone. This has been what an experience, huh? What an experience. And next week's Christmas. Again, if do the algorithm thing. The more people that like this, it makes the whole thing easier. And if you like, there's a snowball thing. If you like get it out there, then other people and blah, 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 blah. So if you like it, I'd love to do these Saturday night shows, you know, when there's not a show, just do Star Wars news, just muck about, tell jokes, show silly things. So get behind it. But for this season of the Mandalorian Roundtable, let's close the door. Say goodbye.
If you go 6 more minutes,
you had to do it. You had to do it.
When the door shuts, the music cue finishes on the door close. So good.
Yeah, yeah. The music is fire.
Oh, my heart is breaking again. Oh.
And it's almost a Star Wars star wipe as it happens too. It's almost like,
yes,
it's amazing. But thanks so much, everyone. I have like you guys on here, and like everyone's on here for because I like hearing your opinions. And sometimes you agree with me, sometimes you don't, but they're always well thought out. And so that's why I like. Everyone that's been on throughout the season, it's been super fun. That's it. It's time to say goodbye. It's really sad. But clearly, this episode has gone on for
long enough.
So, may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.